Radio's dirty little secret. And it's all legal.
Alan, you have been described by your enemies as evil, insane, manipulative. Who are you?
To examine it would be to, like, demystify it.
Take it with a tasty group, okay?
Wow.
It
definitely makes me cringe.
Very, very, very painful.
1, 2, 3, kick it. Kick it. Come on. God damn it. Put you one time. Kick it. What the f***?
It's showtime.
It's the Alan Cox Show. 100.7.
You ignorant trick bastard.
WMMS.
Cleveland.
Hey, what's going on? Good afternoon. Hi there. I'm Alan Cox. Thanks for showing up. Greetings and all that. Say hi to Bill Squire, is right over there.
Hey, creepy hugs, everyone. Thanks for listening to and watching this episode of The Alan Cox Show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share a cold one with the boys.
Mary Santora is out. Mary Santora Comedy, if you want to find out where she is on the road. Is she still in Indiana?
Yeah, she'll be in Indianapolis, I believe.
Okay.
For the next few days.
Say hi to Pound Cake. He's back behind the glass.
Afternoon, white people.
Comedian Mike Winfield is going to join us a little bit later on. He's at Hilarity's all this weekend. I'm really out of it today, and I'm not sure why. I just realized that I was out of it, kind of. You know, like you'll be going about your day through your normal routine and whatever, and then you'll take a second to stop.
And you realize,
I don't know.
What have I been doing?
Where am I?
What time is it?
It's like you'll drive all the way home and you'll pull into your garage, your driveway, and you'll go, how did I do this?
I don't remember driving.
I zoned out the whole, I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, that's...
I wasn't texting, like, I'm just staring and you go...
Just autopilot.
Wow, I'm here. Why do we need autonomous vehicles when we're already autonomous drivers? We're already sleep driving.
I'm feeling good because I went to bed at 10 o'clock last night. I woke up a little bit before 9, so I had a lot of sleep that I apparently needed a lot because I was out. I woke up once to go to the bathroom, and then that was it.
Good for you.
Got a bunch of sleep, and I'm feeling good.
Okay.
And then Spider-Man's back in the MCU,
right.
So that's good.
Spider-Man's back.
I mean, my life's not perfect. There's an Amazon package that said it was delivered, but we can't seem to track it down. So it's not my perfect day, but it's close.
What were you having delivered?
A jacket? Yeah, it's supposed to be fall weather.
So from China?
No, it's a Levi's jacket.
I feel like they don't tell you anymore if you order a piece of clothing on Amazon and it comes from China or Japan.
Well, usually you
can... And it's really, really small.
They've actually gotten better about that.
Have they?
Yeah, because now they have, like, certain brands have their own store on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So Levi's has their own store, so I got a Levi's jean jacket that was delivered today, but it's missing in the building somewhere.
Get out to that, they got a Levi's store out in Aurora. Out that little
other one. They bring it to me.
Oh, I see what you mean. That way you don't have to make the trip.
Yeah, I know what
They'll
I like
come
from there.
To you.
Yeah. But apparently, they don't always get it to me the right way.
A couple of summers ago, or a couple of falls ago, I don't remember when it was, a couple of years ago, let's say, I had a huge hard-on for a jean jacket. I go, man, I haven't had a jean jacket in a long time. Levi's makes some great ones. I bought one. I've worn that thing maybe once. I don't know why I thought that I've got like an olive green kind of military looking thing that's cool for fall that I wear a lot more. But I had a boner for like a blue jean jacket and I never wear it.
Maybe you can wear it on the bar crawl next Friday.
Oh yeah, we got a bar crawl next Friday.
Switch your swag up and get a jean jacket hoodie like I have. I think I got it from Marshalls.
But the hood isn't denim, is it?
No.
No, all right.
No, it's like
what if the hood was the only part that was denim?
Yeah, the hood itself is gray.
It's like a big sweatshirt, but the hood is denim.
It looks like a jean jacket, though, from the hood down.
From the hood down, it looks like a jean jacket. But it's got the hoodie sewn into it. All right. Well, I don't like my clothes to lie to people, Pound Cake. I like my clothes to tell people the truth.
Well, you should just show that you have style. That's all.
Switch up my swag. Yeah, I should do that. I should get a jacket with a hoodie sewn into it. Because that saves you the trouble of putting a hoodie on
underneath
and then putting a jacket over it.
I used to wear hella
layers.
That's
labor intensive, boy. You don't want it. Boy, that could take
up thick.
Extra 5 seconds.
Right, but it can be too many layers.
You know, too many?
Yeah, if it's like in the 50s, high 50s, low 60s, you might want a jacket, but you don't want two jackets.
Yeah.
So then you got to get, they make the ones that, the hoodies that zip into a jacket. That's nice.
They always look dorky to me. Like, I've never seen one of those where I was like, yeah, that would look cool. I mean, like, man. I'll either wear a hoodie or I'll wear a jacket. It's not you that like hard that, to figure it out.
That 90s movie Kevin Smith look where you have the
no.
trench coat and a hoodie?
No. No, I never had a big long leather duster. Everybody knew a guy who was like that, though. Everybody knew a duster guy.
There was a kid that rode on my bus named Patrick, and he wore a duster.
Yeah.
And he was real goth and like metal, and everyone was scared of him.
Trench coat mafia types back in the day.
He was actually a really nice kid. He just, you know, put out those vibes and like a certain kind of music, really into Marilyn Manson and all that stuff.
Yep.
You know,
he was wearing the costume.
Right.
It's cosplay.
And also, I was nice to him because I didn't want to be one of the kids.
You didn't want, you,
yeah, I didn't want to be a victim.
If he went through the high school with a 12 gauge,
yeah,
you could go, hey, remember me?
And be like,
be like, you know what?
You're safe.
You are safe, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
F you, you're cool. And you would be the you're cool guy.
Yeah, I'd be like, I didn't make fun of you for being a big fat loser.
That's right.
He's like, yeah.
But he got
me.
Big fat loser. Oh, boy. Yeah, 1 week from tonight, I guess we do have our bar crawl. It'll be the end of summer bar crawl, like our big hoorah for 2019 back in Lakewood. You can use bar crawl as the search. If you go to alancockshow.com, it'll all be there. It's a courtesy of our friends at Dos Equis. I'm sorry, our amigos at Dos Equis. Yeah.
Which means two Equis.
And no, Bill, it means friends. Oh. Amigos means friends.
I'm excited for the bar crawl, but I'm not excited that it's like October already. I just don't understand, like...
Yeah, but it's 84 degrees out. I know, like, but I don't care what the calendar says.
I'm just saying time is moving by so quickly. Like, this year flew by. The summer flew by. Like,
it goes
just,
the same.
No, it doesn't.
It does. It's just that you're getting old now.
And you're getting busier.
And you're getting closer to your untimely death at 35.
Oh, just kill me now. Spare me.
And that's the way it's going to feel. Finally took him out. There he is.
I'm just bored with it all.
You're bored?
You're bored with life?
Yeah. How can you be bored with life? You know what's boring? The alternative. Death is boring. It's going to be so boring when you're dead.
I won't know.
Life's great.
Are you already bored in your relationship? Is that why you're bored?
No, it has nothing to do with my
relationship. You've got a new boyfriend. Right. Why are you bored with your life? Bored with your life? What?
You have a great life.
Yeah. What do you have to complain about?
Okay, well, whatever.
No, I'm asking you. Wasn't a rhetorical question. Yeah.
You can't say, hey, I'm bored with life, and then be like, well, have a nice Friday.
Well, no, sometimes it just feels like you're in a loop. You just do the same thing every day.
Yes, you do. And the trick is finding ways to make that exciting and enjoyable. We're not out there breaking rocks. We're not laying sod. We're making fart jokes and getting paid. What are you talking about?
You get notoriety.
You're in a loop.
You just got 10K. You hit 10K on Instagram, and you're like, oh, life's boring now?
Yeah.
That was all you wanted, was to get to 10,000.
That's all he needed, apparently.
We knew that would be boring. We knew nothing would come from that. We told you that, but you didn't want to hear that. So we said, fine, let him chart his own path.
I'm at 10.1K, actually.
There you go. You got even more than what you wanted. Mm-hmm. And now you're going, I ain't bored. Bored.
Why are you going to make me sound like that? That's not how I sound.
That's what you sound like to the customers. Some guy out there working a smelter. Listen to you talk about you're bored with your life.
I just would like a little bit more summer. That's all. Like, that's all. I just feel like everything is going by so fast. Like, my teacher told me, I'll never forget it. He was just like, after high school, everything's just going to fly by. I was like, shut up, old man. Like, you don't know what he's talking
old
about.
Old man, he was probably 35.
No, he wasn't. He had salt and pepper hair. Like, he was.
So do
was
I. Old. And it's college.
And to a high schooler, you would be an old man.
Well, that's what I said. He was probably 35 years old.
He wasn't 35. Anyways. No, anyway. But. Yeah, ever since then, I'm like, oh my gosh, a year is like a month to me. I'm like, damn.
Well, then, Poundcake, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to find a way to break free. You know what my mom used to say to me when I was a kid? She'd say, only boring people get bored.
Yeah.
She hated, bored is like a curse word in our house.
My mom would say that too.
It's trite and silly. But, you know, you always got to find ways to read a book. immerse yourself in the world of something beyond. Ooh, what are you reading?
Mary's book. The one she gave me.
What book she gave you?
The Midlife Crisis book.
The Jesus book from the 50s. Well, it's something.
He's been meaning to read more, but his books ran out of batteries. Stupid future.
It's the Alan Cox Show
on 100.7
WMMS.
I'm happy that Pound Cake's reading. For him. We can all stand to read a couple of more things. Even if it's like a pamphlet. How you can prevent forest fires, right? Oh boy, the Indians. Whew, I don't know what to tell you. Again, I am conflicted when they play the White Sox. But the White Sox shut them out last night. Indians lost 8-0. They ended up winning 1 of 3 against the White Sox. I don't know what to tell you.
Bad time to get cold.
Everybody likes to call them the White Sox when they're talking to me. They took 2 of 3, gang. I don't know what to tell you. They are in D.C. tonight to finish out the regular season against the Nationals. And that'll be at 7:05 tonight here on WMMS. If you want to get yourself some gear from CLE Clothing Company, you want to use the promo code DANGEROUS. That is good all September long for 20% off whatever you get from CLE Clothing Company. Whether you want some of the MMS gear, you want some orange and brown, you want some red and blue, you want, do you want to know what the October, we're only a couple of days away from October, and I give you a different keyword every month. Now, what would be a good keyword for October?
Pumpkin. Treat. Trick. Scary.
Those would all be good. Yeah. And you're warm.
Oh, scare?
You're in the vicinity.
Scare? Is it? I don't know. Just hit me with it.
Spooky.
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 Spooky. It's right there.
Once October kicks off on Tuesday, you'll be able to use spooky for 20% off. But for the remainder of September, if you're going to be shopping at CLE Clothing Company, just use dangerous and you'll get 20% off whatever you buy. You just want to do it online, you can certainly do that. Their stores are awesome. There are plenty of them. But if you're just dicking around online, you go to cleclothingco.com and you can use dangerous as your promo code there. I was reading about this woman who died. She was a skydiver. You ever gone skydiving?
I'm not.
Gone one time. People go, as soon as you land, you want to get right back up there.
Did you die?
I did not die.
Okay.
No, I lived.
It's scary.
There were some. She was in a group of 7 skydivers, and she was blown off course. Nice. You know, that's the trouble when there's wind. You got to really know what you're doing, and not everybody does. And she got blown, Bill, off course, and she landed on a semi truck. And landed on the road's shoulder. So she bounced off the truck and landed on the road.
It would have been way cool if she landed on the truck and stayed on the truck.
But she, yeah.
That's some Morpheus stuff.
No, she's alive. I'm sorry, she's dead.
Oh.
she's dead.
I was going to say, like, she bounced off like some like Charlie's Angels type stuff. And then she just landed.
That would have been a very cool story, but that's not what happened. And her dad watched it happen. He was on the ground. Oh, he's like, hey, cool. There's my baby. She skied. Wait, what?
Wasn't she tandem or no? She was.
Group of 7 skydivers. Yeah. I think she was by herself. She hit a big rig outside the airport and then bounced onto the shoulder of the road.
Sad.
Does the truck keep going at that point?
No, I think that, well, I don't know, because if you're driving one of those big trucks and you just hear something thump on the top. Go,
what was that? And,
yeah, you'd probably stop. You would, right?
It ain't his fault, though. Like, he's just minding his own business, and she just...
I don't think anyone said it's his fault.
I said she ruined his life.
Hey, why was your truck in my way? Yeah, no, I don't think anyone's suggesting that it's his fault.
That would be...
You ruined his life.
Yeah, she ruined his life. He's going to be traumatized for the rest of his life.
I don't know about that.
Someone just fall on his windshield.
Her dad was traumatized. Said that you could tell she was really, really struggling and, you know.
All parties involved were traumatized.
Yeah. But they said that the winds were high enough where they wouldn't let light planes take off from the airstrip. So that's just a bad, you know, I don't know. Who's to blame? She wasn't from the United States, if that makes you feel any better, Poundcake. Does that make you feel any better?
That doesn't.
Okay, I don't know. I try to.
Well, where was she from?
She was from Colombia.
Well, that's sad because she probably had a nice butt.
She probably did. And if she had only landed on it, she might be alive today.
Use it to break her fall.
I can only assume that she didn't land on that.
Yeah, I mean, unlike Commander Trump, I actually approve of immigrants, so I'm not sad to see a Colombian pass away.
You do?
Wait, what did you just say?
I like what he said. I heard what he said. Say it again.
I said, unlike Commander Trump, I'm not, like, against immigrants.
You said President Trump.
Right. I said Commander Trump.
But then you said something after that.
I don't remember what I said.
We'll have to pull the tape.
What did he say?
Because he literally said, unlike Commander Trump, I'm not afraid of, or like, I approve of
illegal immigrants.
So he said something like, I don't want someone coming from Dominican Republic or Colombia or something like that. He said something like that.
Doesn't want someone coming?
Yeah, that he doesn't want.
Oh. Okay. But you approve of, let me ask you this. Do you approve of illegal skydiving?
Yeah, I mean, you're
okay, no matter where you're from, like base jumping and things like that?
Yeah, do what you want. It's your life.
Those people that will climb to the top of a tower
with a
chute packed and then jump.
You were just criticizing this lady for ruining some guy's life when she was doing a legal form of skydiving. So what if you're doing an illegal skydive or base jump and you hurt somebody or cause some sort of problem?
That's bad, but make sure you're by yourself and no one else could be involved.
Anything can go wrong.
But she knew what she was doing and the wind still pushed her onto a truck and then she landed on... What if you land on someone?
I understand that.
Wasn't there a guy who died because a skydiver landed on him or something? I mean, that's really bad
talking
timing.
About being born under a bat sign.
Oh, born under a person parachuting.
She didn't have a hint as to not go up in the air because the other planes weren't taking off?
There were six people with her, all of whom landed just fine.
She was determined.
She got caught up in something.
I take signs like that. I don't play. My luck is not that good.
If this were a movie, they would have collected her from the side of the road and rebuilt her.
And then
they would have given her, like...
superpowers.
Well, they would have given her something, you know? I was reading a whole thing on this, too, where people are talking about because the technology is getting better and we're moving closer toward... a time where people will be... Yeah, kind of. There's people kind of doing their own DIY body mods, which I think is hilarious.
Great idea.
Who wouldn't want their key fob for the car that I'm sure you'll have forever surgically implanted into your wrist? Because it's super hard to open your car. But again, you know, those people are... Somebody's got to hold down the grass before somebody blazes the trail. And those people, whether they're putting their credit card in their ass or, you know, whatever it is... And I was reading a big thing on what people want to have done the most. And I was kind of surprised by some of people's guesses. You know, they were like, I would want perfect eyesight, which would be cool.
Yeah, I hear that. Been four eyes my whole life.
Right, except one of the top things that people said that they would want if they could get some kind of cyborg enhancement was improved attractiveness.
Mm. That seems to be something that you can have.
Well, but it's also kind of beyond the realm of what they're talking about here.
Right,
like if they go,
objective.
I would like the power to improved attractiveness, you know? I guess I think of it in terms of like, you know, I grew up with the $6 million man. And he was named that. Why?
Because they rebuilt him and it cost $6 million to rebuild him.
No, that's not what it was.
That's how much the insurance policy paid out.
Absolutely correct. That's what we were led to believe, is that the government, under the watchful eye of one Oscar Madison, spent $6 million on Steve Austin. But that wasn't it. That was the insurance policy if the whole thing went wrong.
No, not Stone Cold.
Not Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Predate Stone Cold.
That's right.
Oh.
The $6 million man was before your time.
And Stone Cold made way more than $6 million.
He sure did.
I don't know if he was insured for $6 million. I don't know. I don't follow wrestling all like that anymore.
He could have been.
Okay.
Who knows?
What's going on out there?
Just them, you know.
Are they doing a tour?
Are they doing a loud tour? Loud tours.
Oh.
Come on down to the radio station where we do loud tours
while
shows are on.
I really enjoy when you have the speaker blasting in the hallway, just so when people walk by and we're talking about like b-holes or something, they get to hear.
See, Steve Austin was an astronaut, I think.
I never watched this show.
Crashed to Earth. Oh, yeah, I was a kid when this was on. But I had the action figures and the whole thing. Crashes in the salt flats, and then they have to rebuild it.
Steve Austin, astronaut. A man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world.
And they're handing over like a fake arm, and this is in the 70s.
Right.
Steve Austin.
They didn't have this technology.
$6 million seems like a steal, too.
Oh, my God, in the 70s? Sure. Yeah.
Better. Stronger. Faster.
And then, of course, he was outrunning cars and, you know. But then imagine you get that technology and then they go, well, now you're a piece of the government's property. Because the action figure only came with this red running suit, you know? But I had, like, the inflatable moon base, and I had the Steve Austin action figure, and you'd run around going, that noise that he made.
You think if you're going to improve his body, you're also going to make it pretty stealthy, because he's doing a lot of covert missions.
Right.
You don't, every time he's jumping, it goes, like, oh,
well, what is that?
There's that guy. There's that robot guy.
Wait a second. Did I just hear that? He's near.
Head get out swivel, of here. Everyone.
Oh, get out. And he's wearing that red jumpsuit. Yeah. I mean, they're going to see you. Camouflage this guy. He's making noise.
Making noise wearing red.
God. They made him be like a bionic lumberjack. All kinds of crap that had nothing to do with anything.
Bionic lumberjack.
Yeah.
Just get a saw.
Yeah, bionic lumberjack. I think they gave him a saw and he, like, chopped something down super, super fast. Man.
Using a saw or an axe?
Using a chainsaw. A chainsaw. I think. Yeah.
Which chainsaw already does all the work. It's not his superpower.
Really, well, he sure is good raw material.
He's just climbing up the tree by himself, making that noise. But how do they arrive at that noise? Does he hear that? You think everything he does, he goes, Doc, I'm going crazy with this noise. Every time I move, it goes, is there a way to...
Do I have tinnitus or something?
What's going on?
I can't stand it.
Oh. Couldn't you have just made me the $6 man and given me an earpiece or something?
Why don't you let me die? Yeah. There's other people that can do what I was doing. I was an astronaut, and now I'm owned by the government, going on all these stupid missions for you guys that, really, you don't need me for.
You know why I want to be an astronaut? You know why I trained so hard? Because I didn't want to be a lumberjack. Bionic or otherwise.
Not a spy.
And then you could tell when the show was starting to jump the shark, because they brought in the bionic Sasquatch.
Oh.
Oh, my God. And the bionic woman, Lindsay Wagner.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Probably my first TV
now,
crush.
How did she almost die?
I don't remember. It wasn't as cool
as... It's
the 70s,
so she wasn't an astronaut.
Nah, it was the... they called her the Bionic Woman, though. Mm-hmm. They didn't call her the $6 million woman. They called her the Bionic Woman.
$6 million woman is someone very different.
Yeah, I don't know, but Lindsay Wagner, boy, she was a piece back in the day. I don't know how she died. Jamie Summers was her name. She was a tennis pro.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how you get... Oh, she was skydiving. A skydiving accident.
It all comes together.
Yep. And she looks up, and there's a hole in her chute, and she had a critical injury.
Oh,
in a
she is hot.
Parachute accident, and they make her the Bionic Woman. That's right. They were like, hey, we got a guy. Well, why don't we have a lady? And so I think they should have called it the Bionic Lady. I think that would have been funnier. And then send her out in nightgowns and heels all the time.
I think they should have called her the Bionic Tennis Player.
Yeah.
And then just get all the...
No one could beat her.
Yeah, they just let her play tennis. Like, that's all they did. They saved their life. And like, all right, you play tennis? Go play some tennis.
It's an entire show about a robot woman who has to go out on the tennis circuit.
And then there's
week
all these,
after week.
And there's all these discussions like, well, should she even be able to compete because she's bionic?
That's right.
And that's not really fair to the other people that aren't bionic.
That's the conversation they're having with trans athletes.
That's right.
They're like, hey, you can do whatever you want to do, but are you going to compete with us? You're not biologically a woman. What are we going to do here? She was only partially biologically a woman. It's as timely as today's headlines, really. But that Lindsay Wagner, boy. So when I had the whole bionic man playset, $6 million man, and then they introduced the bionic woman action figure, you can bet your ass that she was having a good time with Steve Austin in AC's bedroom. She was having a lot of fun. I was making them do some awful things, Bill. Awful things.
Like what?
Oh,
work,
just...
Work for the bad guys?
Yeah. I created a scenario in which she wasn't playing tennis anymore. Mm. And he
but
got
still
really,
making similar noises?
Yeah, but... Yeah. That's right. So anyway, yeah, they've asked a lot of people what they would like to have enhanced once the whole cyborg thing takes off. And a lot of people, you know, they go, hey, I'd like my... to have a super vision, I'd like to have x-ray vision or super fast reflexes.
I thought
improved attractiveness was really strange.
Right, because you can just get cosmetic surgery.
Yes.
Like, that exists.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a cybernetic implant to be hotter.
Flawless memory and recall. That would be great. You know,
that's scary.
They talk about that, though, that it might not be far off where your brain is just kind of a computer anyway. So if you can, if you could upload the internet into your brain and then like your synapses and your neurons, you would just think something and it would be like Wikipediaing in your head. Pound Cake would never mispronounce anything ever again.
Never, ever.
Ever, ever.
Ever, ever.
I would just, if I could do one thing, I just want to make myself taller. Because that can't be done by cosmetic surgery. So,
well, they can. They can shatter your legs and then...
No, they can.
They do it all. You only
no,
get
they
a couple...
do not.
Yes, they do.
To make someone taller.
They've lengthened people's legs, but I don't know how effective it is. You only gain... I don't think it's worth the pain of the cost.
You're not supposed to mess with your knees.
Understood. You're not supposed to mess with anything here, but people do it all the time.
I think they do it with the... thigh bones, right?
Probably, the femur. Right?
I've never heard of that. Like,
Google it.
Someone who comes into surgery at like 5'5" and then comes back as like 6'3".
No, you're not getting that much.
You're like not even getting an inch.
I mean,
what's the point then?
That's some people the question. Are weird. Yeah,
an inch. Like, I'm gonna need a foot, homie. Like, that's what I want.
Height surgery is that?
Yeah, I don't know what they call it, but it is being done.
Leg lengthening surgery.
Leg lengthening.
Because I'm 5'8", I would like to be at a cool 6'1", 6'2". I don't need to be 6'5". Mike is a tree. I don't need to be like that. Like, I'm cool with, like, 6 foot solid or 6'1".
Well, you're going to have to get your legs busted to do it.
I just wear heels.
If you only had one bionic leg, how would the other leg keep up? Somebody asked. That's a good question.
That is a question. It's like when you're
dragging.
When you got one roller skate on, and you're just pushing around. You're like, aha!
You're just dragging that other leg. It's on fire. You're moving so fast.
Oh, in China, there is a leg lengthening surgery that can add 2 to 3 inches to a patient's height.
There you go.
I don't believe that.
And you're trying to say that if you're going to have something lengthened, Pound Cake, it would be your legs?
Yeah, what else would I need to get lengthened? Oh, thank you.
All right. Just asking. Somebody said the Bionic Sasquatch was Andre the Giant. I don't know if that's true or not. But boy, remember that.
But then also, it's not like it's all... Like, your legs are going to be too long for your torso then, too. Like, if you get...
Yeah.
If you get, what, you're 5'8 right now?
Yeah.
You get 4 inches of leg, your legs are going to be so long compared to the rest of your body. Mm. You need it to be, like, across the board.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
An inch here, an inch there.
In a fantasy world, if I could just be a little taller, that would be dope.
Yeah, you're long legs and like really like short Tyrannosaurus Rex arms.
Mm-hmm. I wish he was a little bit taller. I wish he was a baller. I was reading that they cast an actor to play Chris Cornell in a movie about him. I'd never heard of the guy before. I had to Google him, and looks enough like Chris Cornell. His name's Lachlan McDonald. Film's called Like a Stone, which is the name of an Audioslave song. I always forget about Audioslave. I don't know why, because they were around for a while, and they were good. But I was a huge Soundgarden fan, but I always forget about Audioslave, and I don't know why. They're all over the radio, and Rage Against the Machine was a fantastic band in their own right. So they're going to do a Chris Cornell movie, and they cast that dude. Robert De Niro's daughter is going to play Vicky Cornell. And it'll be out a year after next. So,
cool.
They said they were having a bit of trouble because... well, listen, here's the thing. Chris Cornell's actual widow says that this is not a thing. She goes, hey, this is not... going to happen. This is part of a harassment campaign against her. I'm not sure why people are harassing her. Chris Cornell killed himself, albeit probably accidentally. He did it in Detroit the night after a show there, and I was still on in Detroit, so I had to go on the air that next morning and say, hey, Chris Cornell died last night. They found him hanging in the bathroom over at the Motor City Casino, I think is where it was. I had all these people calling me, and you know, because they thought it was a hoax or something. I'm like, no, they're figuring it out. But Chris Cornell's wife, been a rumor for a while that they were going to make a movie about Chris Cornell, but his wife says, no, this thing. I'm just curious why people are harassing her.
Well, because
people are harassing her and their children, and I don't understand that.
Wasn't there some sort of thing like that she might have been involved in his death or something? Or
but he was in Detroit and she wasn't.
I know, but like.
And he was heavily medicated. I mean, the guy was on all kinds of prescription drugs.
People are jerks and they're going to harass people. If you're famous, you're going to get harassed. It's just how it is.
But Chris Cornell's widow? I don't
understand it either. It doesn't make sense.
I could see giving somebody a hard time if you had a legitimate gripe against them. Say you didn't believe the same things they did. It's still lame and stupid, but at least from that perspective, I get it. But like, if there was an artist I really liked, and they found him hanging in his bathroom, you're going to mourn over that. And I talked about it on this show. Chris Cornell's death hit me pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was that was somebody who was a cornerstone of kind of the music that I was into for my generation. And, you know, I'm a Gen Xer. And so I was very, very much into Soundgarden and Alice in Chains and Nirvana. And those were the bands that, you know, as I was transitioning from my hair metal high school days.
Getting all grungy with
loved
them.
Soundgarden.
Getting grungy with Chris
and
Cornell.
I didn't do the look or anything like that, but I loved that music. And but I don't understand why you would harass his widow. I don't get that.
Because people were damaged and they're jerks and they just want to lash out at somebody.
Somebody.
So they just will go, well, you were married to him and it's probably your fault.
Yeah, how did you not see it?
Well, no, but what I'm saying is if you, that shows how little they know. If you're a fan of someone, you think that you'd want to be sympathetic to their family.
Yeah, but there's some people that don't know how to be fans.
I'm applying logic to a situation that kind of defies logic. But
there's so many people that they are fans of things, but they don't. But they like are hate fans, or just because they're a fan of Chris Cornell,
hate fans.
People that will watch things and listen to things that say that they hate it, but then when you actually reach out to them, they're like, actually, I really like what you do. I don't know how to get your attention. Those kind of people exist all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're real weird. Real weird.
Well, there it is. So his wife says that that's not the thing, but I had somebody yesterday on the text towards the end of the show going off on me. Because they had texted me something. We were talking about something yesterday, and they texted something, and I wrote back with a genuine question, but I guess they thought I was making fun of them, and so they started
snarky.
They
took it as like snarky.
Maybe, but they were like, "You're a pretentious a-hole," and I was like, "Okay, cool, man." I was legitimately
the
asking
man that
you a
uses
question.
The word Octothorpe is a pretentious a-hole. I don't think so.
Hey, I like Octothorpe. Speaking of that, I had a couple people that were like, "Thank you for introducing me to Octothorpe. I love that word. It's great."
What does it mean again?
It's the pound sign. If you don't want to say hashtag, I say Octothorpe blessed when somebody gets my drive-thru order right.
Octothorpe.
Because blessed. It's a great... Somebody turned me on to it 2 weeks ago. I never heard of that word. And now I love it. Octothorpe Romo Fijo.
I'm going to the open house tomorrow.
Are you?
So I'll try and get the chant going.
Campy stuck his head in the office earlier today. He's like, I'm all over Romo Fijo. I said, okay, good.
He asked
the more
me,
the merrier.
He's like, is it Romo Fijo? And I'm like, why would it be Fijo?
He said Romo Fijo, and I felt bad. I just said, yeah, Romo Fijo, man. It's Fieldhouse, not Fieldhouse.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why he's like, is it Fi or Fi? I go, it's Fi.
Yeah, looking at it, yeah. It's not a Greek letter.
You illiterate?
Sounds like the Greek letter, I guess. Illiterate. It's got to be a way to make that work. So, so the Chris Cornell thing, his wife said that that's not happening. It's certainly not beyond the realm of possibility that you would think that they would make a Chris Cornell film at some point. They're making films about everyone else.
So I want the Billy Joel film.
Billy Joel?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that too. Have you seen the Greta Thunberg song?
Oh, no.
This is that Swedish teen who addressed the UN General Assembly, and she got very she got very passionate about climate change. And, of course, people started making fun of her. Talk about awful people. You know, she's autistic and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, she's they're making fun of her because she doesn't want to die in the next 20 years. but she is Swedish. And, of course,
kids today. Ugh.
Not wanting to die.
So they made it like what, like a songify thing?
Yeah, oh, okay. Death metal. Ooh. Yeah, I'll play it for you. If you're watching at alancockshow.com, one of Sweden's great exports, of course, the candy fish and death metal. So they basically took her speech and just kind of death metaled it up.
My message is that we'll be watching you.
It's a little hard to hear what she's saying, but it's her speech.
But that's how death metal works. Up.
That's right.
Her faces match the death metal. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire
ecosystems are collapsing. I mean, her speech could easily be death metal lyrics. People are dying. Suffering. People are dying.
How dare you?
That's a rager, boy. I like that a lot. Whoever did it.
How dare you? For one more decrease, the signs have been crystal clear. How dare you?
Anyway, yeah, I like that a lot. Greta Thunberg, I've heard some people say Thunberg. I don't know what that is. My Swedish is very, very rusty, so I don't know. I was most impressed that none of the letters in her name had a line through them.
No lines, no or umlauts, dots or anything.
Nothing.
Like that.
I do not want to believe that. Because if you really understood the situation and still kept on failing to act, then you would be evil.
Anyway, there you go. So congratulations to her. And whoever put that together.
See, everybody was saying, she's just doing this to be famous. And there it is. She drops a single.
Just doing this to be famous.
It just cracks me up.
She said it right there. I'd rather be at home in school with my friends in Sweden than over here in the United... in New York, in front of the UN, where you guys think that climate change is a matter of opinion.
It just cracks me up that these, like, 50, 60-year-old men are attacking, like... A 13-year-old. How old is she? 16?
She's 16. It's like, the same thing when...
like, they're on Twitter, and they're just like...
The Parkland shooting. They're like, these kids, they don't know what they're talking about.
This meanwhile, little puppet.
They were shot at, and they're like, hey, yeah, whiny kids. Don't want to get shot. When I was a kid, we wanted to get shot, and we liked it.
Listen, you're only helping their cause when you rail on them like that, because it just makes them more determined.
Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever. I mean, nothing did happen with the Parkland kids.
No, of course. It's still America.
They didn't get anything passed. They're like, oh, we're going to be the last school shooting. And next school shooter was like, hold my beer. Like, it's ridiculous.
Well, but still, I mean, I don't think that those people go out and they know that they're not going to get something overturned next week. I mean, they're self-aware enough, but they're like, look, I mean, imagine if you were in a situation like that when you were 16, you would probably feel compelled to publicly say something.
No, but they just made, like, the concert. It was like a big spectacle, and I'm just like, focus on the work first. Focus on the work first, rather than having a concert.
Hmm. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Well, and you should be ashamed of yourself for propping some 16-year-old kid up on stage and coaching her to act the way she did. That's funny. Coaching her. Yeah, they propped her up. Can you imagine the therapist bill she's going to need when she gets older? Shameful to have a teenager do the bidding of the socialist left. Oh, I love it.
But why would we choose her?
Oh, you dope. I love that stuff.
Why would that be the person they chose?
Yeah, I didn't even know who she was until like a month ago when she started that whole at her school in Stockholm or wherever is where She did the climate strike thing with the students, and then it became a big thing in cities around the world. A lot of kids, a lot of women.
How much does that job pay? I'll be their puppet.
What job? She's not getting paid for it. They were like, it's like that girl who got like shot in the head by the Taliban years ago, that Malala or whatever.
Right.
Letterman did one of his Netflix episodes on her.
Right.
She had a moment where she was going out and speaking to people, and there's nothing wrong with it. If you don't agree with them, and this is what, you know, these right-wing nuts, like the, whoever's texting me here, if they don't like what you have to say, they want to shut you down. They want to put you somewhere else. If you don't believe what she has to say, okay, that's fine. I mean, you know.
But they always have to, there's got to be some
she's not gonna change
deeper
your
meaning
life.
Behind it. There's got to be someone propping them up.
I know. Yeah. Because a 16-year-old couldn't possibly put those thoughts together for herself.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you were a dope when you were 16, sir or madam. Don't put that in. And by the way, she's coming from a country that is far more advanced in these ways than we are.
Right.
Like she says, climate science, as the name you would think would imply, over there, it's not a matter of opinion.
It's not a partisan issue in most of the world.
So I'm not quite sure why you think somebody was propping her up. They invited her to speak, and she accepted. Because why would you? I mean, why wouldn't you, though?
We just had that caller the other day that said he's a very conservative guy, but he believes in climate change, and it's maddening to him that there's so many people on the right that dismiss it.
Well, listen, if you have monetary interests in trying to purport that it's not a thing or that it's still up for grabs...
What? Monetary interests? How can you make money if we don't have a planet?
Hey, listen, I would just say look to your major oil companies. Because they're some of the biggest investors in renewable resources.
Right.
Because they know what's on the horizon. Mm-hmm. That's right. So
I mean, but the damage can't be undone right now, so why even try? Who cares?
But you could say that about a lot of things. Some people still want to try because you don't know, right?
Nah, forget it. Who cares? That's a lot of work. Forget it. We're going to die. So
Well, fortunately, none of us are relying on you to solve the issue.
And clearly you are, because that's the mindset.
You
want to
be the face. You just said you want to be the face of this thing because it pays well.
Yeah, you got to pay me.
But you're not doing a good job. You got to have the passion first.
First of all, you have to show that you're worthy of whatever you think you should be paid to be the face of.
Like the 16-year-old girl?
Earlier in the show, you were talking about how bored you are with your life. And how summer flew by. I didn't understand where you were going with that, because you're like, why would you want there to be more summer when you don't like to go outside anyway? And secondly, you're like, I'm bored with my life, and yet you talk about how passionate you are about your jobs that you want to leave as soon as you go home. So so why are you going to be the face of anything? Why would anybody pay you to be the face of anything?
Yeah, I've got a good point.
I mean, you know, unless you literally met your face... Yeah.
I don't have to write my rebuttal.
You should be.
That's a good point.
You should be the face of Throwback Thursday. Is what you should be the face. Well, yeah, I mean on a bigger scale.
I mean, you did invent it.
I know.
Well, Cobra invented it.
DJ Cobra.
You ain't even give me no credit. You don't even throw me Octothorpe TBT.
Yeah.
Cobra. Nothing.
Alan, I think a lot of people had a problem with her fake mean mugging. Look, she was probably terrified to sit there in front of all these grown-ups and, you know.
She's very poised and...
Well, she had, again, she's autistic and OCD and she has Asperger's and all this stuff. So she's not exactly going to have the same demeanor that somebody like you or I might.
Yeah.
And yes, I copped to it. It was very dramatic.
Very dramatic.
Yeah.
Good.
But she's a 16-year-old who's terrified. But these are the things that people will pick at.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't like her face. You know what? Okay.
There it's not a message about her face.
Right. She's not trying to be the face of anything.
And she's 16 and has Asperger's and OCD and all those things. And they just
I wasn't doing that when I was 16.
Yeah, they dismiss all that stuff. No, when I was 16,
trying to get laid. All I was doing was trying to get laid. And that didn't even happen for another year.
I looked like a 10-year-old when I was 16.
There you go. I probably did, too. What do I know? I'd have to go back and look. One of my favorite, speaking of being outside, having a good time, one of my favorite follows at Instagram is this guy, Nate Smith. He's a photographer. His handle is Driven by Boredom, on the subject of boredom. But he went through and took photos at the gathering of the Juggalos.
Oh, nice.
And he's like, I've chronicled these year after year. He goes every year, and he said, every year I always say it's the last year I'm going to go, and every year I go back. Because he goes, you can just point a camera in any direction. And he's not making fun of Juggalos. He's like, you can just point a camera in any direction and get a good photo.
I would love to be a fly on the wall. I wouldn't want to go.
I would like to go, except I'm terrified to go.
Someone's going to throw poop at you. Like, I just want to be like...
You don't think I've ever had poop thrown at me before?
Why would you have poop thrown at you?
Why wouldn't he?
Why wouldn't I?
Okay.
Because I was trying to be the face of poop throwing.
Well, then you go. You go to the Juggalo.
I'd like to go. So he's posted a lot of photos, and, you know, there's some cute girls walking around. I mean, there's some more traditional-looking Juggalos, if you will. But everybody's having fun, and, you know, from everything that goes on, no judgment, right? You just get out there
yeah,
and
it's family, man.
Do what you want to do.
Family, they're family.
Family! But this guy says, every year I say I'm not going back. Every year I do. This year's no different. I said that I'm not going back, but I probably will.
American Juggalo is a great documentary.
Documentary.
It's like 20 minutes long. I think it's on YouTube or Vimeo or something, and it chronicles a guy's weekend at what's it called?
At the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Gathering,
yeah. This guy's putting together a book on these.
Ooh, coffee table book.
And Juggalos are still, I think, the only fan group that has been designated as a gang by the FBI.
Did they ever get that taken away?
I don't think so. They did that March on Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they're still designated that way. Because a couple of them killed some dudes or whatever. But, you know, a couple of people in any fan base are going to kill some dudes. There's probably a couple of guys in the foreigner fan base who killed some people.
Tell me what love is!
And he didn't tell
I want to know!
Mm-hmm.
To all our men and women in uniform.
I've been a lifelong fan, 20 years in the military, come back, and the Find Your Afternoon show is... horrible.
Thanks. From the Alan Cox Show.
Horrible.
On 100.7 WMMS.
Well, send me a text, 35192, alancoxshow.com. Got to watch the Christie's Instagram hotties there for you, too. And use the keyword bar crawl in the search. 1 week from tonight, we head back to Lakewood with Dos Equis for the final Alan Cox Show bar crawl of 2019. It starts at 7 o'clock. We'll hit a handful of spots up until midnight or so, and we'd love to have you along at any or all of them. So that's next Friday night. And then I'll be heading out of town hungover the next morning.
Whoop.
Big
fun.
Best
way to travel.
Best way to travel. Sure. Hey, if you listen to the show on iHeartRadio, let me know where you do that if it's out of state. Rich is a new bureau chief in Kelso, Washington. Jake's down in West Palm. Nick's out in Vallant, PA. Mufasa is in Houston.
Mufasa.
He lives! Courtney and Cole are in Bemidji, Minnesota. Got an email from a guy. He goes, hey, I'm mostly a podcast listener, but I have one of these different everyday calendars, and you guys were talking about whether or not you fart around your significant others. Bill's a big fan of that. I don't do it. I don't do anything with the door open if I'm in the loo. It's just my own personal choice. Some people are into it. Some people's significant others don't mind, and that's why they're into it. I don't think mine would, but I'm just not not that guy. But he sent me a photo of his different everyday calendar, your little desk thing that you've got, and you peel the day back. And it's just a three-column list of foods that might give you gas.
Oh.
Now, you know, everybody's, you know, constitution is different, so it might affect you differently. It's got some of the usual suspects on there, onions, raisins.
I did not. Well, I mean,
how can you do a? I'm curious how you would narrow down a list of foods that might give you gas. You would think any food might give you gas. Yeah, milk. Yeah, for a lot of people. Okay, shallots. Mm-hmm. Okay, soda. Yeah, carbonation. Understood.
Eggs.
Brussels sprouts.
Egg give me gas.
Eggs isn't even on here.
Really? If I eat a hard boiled egg, It's not even, okay.
It smells like that going in already.
Yeah, well, it's not even that it's eggs that give me gas. It's just when I eat eggs, my gas is noticeably bad.
It's noxious.
Like the smell is very bad.
Chewing gum is on that list. Oh. I used to chew a lot of gum. I was always chewing gum. I was chewing gum like a guy that was trying to quit smoking.
Why does gum give you gas if you don't swallow it?
I don't know. Maybe it's got, maybe whatever the artificial sweeteners are do say, that. You're not, xylitol or, I don't know.
You're not digesting it, so.
I mean, I swallow my gum.
I can't.
Sometimes. I mean, if I'm in the mood, I'll swallow it. Other times I'll spit it out. But, I mean, I never was averse to swallowing gum.
325.
I'll spit it out, man. So that's Jeff's list. He writes, P.S., I'm the one who texted that I went to see Mary at Hilarities, and she's the only one that I would pay to see again.
Okay.
Remember that guy?
He said that was a really crappy thing to say.
Bill got very upset at that.
Yeah.
Well, that's who this guy was.
Oh, cool. Well, I don't care what he does. If you do want to pay to see me, I'll be in Willoughby tomorrow. Garage Bar Willoughby.
Jess said, I've only seen you once and for a limited amount of time in Kent. And there were some unsavory jokes you made that made my wife and I uncomfortable.
Oh, so he's a nerd.
Triggered.
Well, I don't know that. I don't remember what I did. I don't remember what jokes I did.
But regardless, they're jokes.
I'm still a dedicated customer. I just prefer to listen to you when you're restricted to the confines of the FM. Boy, I'd love to know what jokes I did. What's fine? I don't care. I'd rather have you listen here, if anywhere. I mean, you know.
I wanted to still listen to the show, but I just think it's funny that people are so, I don't know, they can't handle jokes. It's strange.
So it makes the world go round. That's the beauty of it. Yeah. Sometimes they land. I wish that he had told me what my jokes were that made him and his wife uncomfortable.
I know what jokes Mary did that night, and I know that there's some in there that are not the most FM friendly jokes.
I don't remember. Well, anyway, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate the photo. I don't remember what I said. That was a while ago. But there you go. Made him and his wife uncomfortable.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Well, you know, we push the boundaries, right?
Bill, are you going to be doing jokes tomorrow night in Willoughby that are going to make people uncomfortable?
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, too, is I never know what's going to make someone uncomfortable. Because people will get uncomfortable about very strange things.
Well, but I can also understand somebody not finding a joke funny. Obviously, that's a binary conclusion. You either like it or you don't. Making someone uncomfortable, I find. That's an interesting way to put it.
Yeah.
Why? You did a joke that made me uncomfortable.
I want to know what topics make you uncomfortable and why. And then maybe that's more about who you are and less about who I am as a comedian. Why does that make you uncomfortable?
Or maybe it is more about who we are. Could be.
Could be.
I don't know.
Let's see, what am I going to be talking about tomorrow? Names?
Names.
Talk about some names.
You might have some people in the audience with those names who become uncomfortable.
They might. They might. If your name is Paul, you might get a little uncomfortable.
Okay, there's a lot of Pauls out there.
There are a lot of Pauls.
I would say that the odds are pretty good that there will be at least a Paul in your audience.
Someone might be
appalled. And will he be appalled?
let's see, what else?
Uh-huh.
They talk about steps.
Okay.
Yeah.
People who are vertically challenged might have a difficult time with that.
Talk about
steps.
Yeah.
Steps.
I'm trying not to give things away. Okay. I'll talk about...
Some people swear by 12 of them.
Payday loan stores.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There are people who might be in financial straits who might be uncomfortable with the joke about payday loans. I feel like those are going away.
Religion and, you know...
I don't think there's anything there that makes people uncomfortable. Right.
Religion, sex, politics.
Okay. Most
that's going to be the majority of it, and then the things that will probably make people uncomfortable will be
the
name
Paul.
Names.
Yeah.
And steps.
Yeah, steps. Mm-hmm. Good. Listen, I think that, and I think most people agree, it's usually better to stay in an area where everyone agrees. Religion, politics, sex.
That way you never learn anything new.
They're so safe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that that's a good way to go about it.
You don't want to, you know, you don't want to go outside your comfort zone.
Uh-huh. I heard from Jay, speaking of Bureau Chiefs, Jay listens in Cagayan de Oro, Philippines. Do you know where that is?
Oh, I don't.
Cagayan de Oro, what is that? Something gold? What's Cagayan?
I think you're saying it wrong.
Oh, am I? I probably am.
Cagayan, what is it?
Cagayan de Oro. Isn't Oro gold?
Oro.
Anyway, thank you, Jay. Cagayan. Cagayan de Oro.
What part of... I need that on maps. It's probably... What part of the Philippines is this?
I don't know. But thanks.
Okay, that's... Yeah, that's down in the Davao Island.
In the what? The Bowel Islands?
Davao.
Davao?
So we weren't allowed to go here because this is where there were a lot of people being kidnapped and stuff.
Oh.
We were up in, you know, Manila.
So was there... Were Mormon missionaries like high-value targets or were you just kind of walking around?
Well, in that part of the Philippines, it's just any white people.
Any white people.
So, like, there'd be soldiers there, but they're going to be okay because they're soldiers.
But you guys weren't freaked out that you're a couple of young white boys walking around trying to convert people and you could have been kidnapped? Or
I mean, I had, you know, some scary moments, but...
But you don't have, like, a Mormon security detail?
No, no.
Like really?
And overall, we were left alone. It was just... Usually, if we were in any, like, sticky situation, it was just a drunk guy waving a knife or a homemade gun at us.
Really?
Yeah. They would get a pipe... And then fit it so that you could shoot a gun that way. You'd like
a zip gun.
Yeah, it's like a pop gun, but they put real shotgun shells in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that hurt them? Like if it malfunctioned or something?
Yeah, they didn't really work that well.
You're certainly taking a risk. You really have to like, kill someone.
It was all birdshot too, so it wasn't like they were going to shoot you with like a real like a slug or anything.
Yeah.
I always thought like the Philippines was like a place. Because I'm ignorant. I always thought it was a place where people go to vacation.
Well,
like,
there's that, too.
People go there.
So is there certain islands in the Philippines where it's like more touristy than others?
Yeah, but that's not where we're going to, you know, as a Mormon missionary to try and convert people.
convert vacationing white people on a resort. Have you heard the good news? Hey, Michael. What's going on with
these
phones?
Go ahead. Try and pick your phone. Pick it up now.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Alan. How you doing? Hate the show.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, I saw Bill probably 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago at the Funny Stop. He spent the entire life fat, like 5-10 minutes of the show, being uncomfortable, and it was the most amazing part of his show, was watching people cringe.
You made people uncomfortable at the Funny Stop?
Which show were you at? Was it the one with that girl?
No, see, the girl was at the 9:30, I was at the 7:30.
Okay.
So, but you did forewarn people, hey, like, if you get offended easily, like...
Oh, when I was doing my dark jokes?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And Michael's listening to this, and so I have these jokes that are very dark, and I say, hey, these jokes are real dark, and everybody's like, yeah, we can handle it. And then I tell them, like, whoa, that was way darker than we thought it was going to be. So,
that was
so
pitch
fun.
Black.
Because, you know what? I do it for you, Michael.
It's perfect. I'm the guy who called in and said I hung your gazebo picture on the wall.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, you guys have a good
All right.
Night.
Thank you, Michael. There you go. There's Mike out in Stowe.
People always say
that. So you forewarn people.
For certain jokes.
Really?
They're very dark.
Really?
They're very dark jokes. They deal with some very dark subject matter. And that's what I've been using to close out my shows lately. And there's some people that, like, it's one of those things where people are uncomfortable, but they're also doing that same, like, that uncomfortable laugh where they're going to be laughing at this.
Yeah, but the warning thing.
Yeah.
What is that going to do for them?
I'm letting them know. I don't know. It's just,
I just think it's funny.
It's just as like a... just like a little disclaimer.
Huh. I feel like people are like, all right, as long as he doesn't mention me getting molested by my cousin, I'll be in good shape.
Second joke.
It's like, there's no way he's going to mention that. And it's like, so this one time, this girl, oh no, he's talking about getting molested by a cousin. And then I'm out of here. I feel like people
There's
have
nothing wrong
triggers.
With cousins with benefits.
Yeah, cousin molesting. I didn't know that was the... I missed that part.
I'm trying to think of dark humor, and I'm like, well, either killing yourself, someone getting molested, or something. Like, what else is there?
Babies.
There's all kinds of things.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a comedian.
That's why I wanted to know what made Jeff upset. I used to do a joke about punching my daughter in the face. I can't imagine that was anything that would turn anybody off.
They're like, ah, kids.
Sunday nights here on MMS, by the way, you know, we run this show called House of Hair. It's Dee Snider. We've aired it for many years. And it's him playing like, you know, like hair band stuff. It's like a throwback show. And he was complaining, Dee Snider, who, God bless him, is always trying to fly the flag for rock and roll. And his bona fides are, you know... undeniable. He's very upset at the whole J-Lo halftime show thing. He's like, and he's kind of got a point. He goes, listen, at every sporting event you go to, what kind of music do they play? Baseball players are walking out to enter Sandman. They're playing Thunderstruck and Crazy Train and Come On, Feel the Noise. He goes, and they never book rock acts for the Super Bowl halftime
show. It's been a while. It's been, I mean, I guess the last one was like a soft rock.
Like Maroon 5 did the Super Bowl halftime show. I don't think of them as a rock band.
What's their... I mean, they are, but it's just soft rock.
Well, yeah, you don't have to be heavy metal, but yeah. I don't... I mean, you think of Maroon 5 as a rock band? I mean...
Pop rock?
I guess, yeah, okay.
What's the other one? Coldplay.
Yes. Coldplay. I mean, Coldplay. I know the Stones have done it, but I mean, he's, you know...
No, he makes a good point.
I mean, Queen's never done it. Guns N' Roses have never done it.
Oh, that would be a good one.
AC/DC, I know they're in a weird spot now with Brian Johnson or whatever, but...
That would be a great one. What's it called? Guns N' Roses would be the best.
They want a performance that's going to get...
Metallica? That'd be cool.
They want to have the most, like, eyeballs on it, and I think, like, as popular as rock
You mean
is,
they want the most young eyeballs on it?
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but, like, not... Everyone would watch that. Like, there are people that are diehard Metallica fans, diehard
right, but you're also,
fans.
But the other side of that coin is that the upper end of the demographic is going to be like, I don't give a frog's ass about J-Lo and Shakira.
But they'll watch regardless.
No, they won't. I don't watch. And I don't even mind Shakira and J-Lo, but I won't watch. I'll go get more nachos. Because I don't care what they're doing. Like, I know what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Aerosmith did it in 2001. And The Who did it in 2010. Those are the only hard rock acts to play the Super Bowl halftime show.
No doubt.
Foo Fighters? Foo Fighters would be great.
Oh, they would be great.
Because, if you're looking for like a mainstream rock band, mm-hmm. Foo Fighters.
Or Imagine Dragons.
Stop it.
They would. Please.
Imagine those guys going down in a plane crash and then maybe you got
something. Imagine Dragons and Kendrick Lamar. That would be a great halftime show.
Stop it.
That would be a great halftime show.
Stop it. Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi would be huge. Put Bon Jovi out there.
Bon Jovi would be... That would go over because he's generational now.
Yeah. Even AC/DC.
AC/DC would be great, too.
Bombastic, mm-hmm. You know? And again, to Dee Snider's point, you're hearing all these songs at sporting events. These are songs that people already associate with sporting events.
And how about Kiss? Put Kiss out there. I'm not the biggest Kiss fan, but they put on one hell of a halftime show.
Oh, I'm sure Kiss has begged to be in the Super Bowl halftime. I'm sure Gene Simmons has sent emails to the NFL every year for the past 35 years trying to get in on that.
Who likes vodka and Pepsi?
Get into the kitchen and get more cold gin.
Popular music. I mean,
put Pearl Jam up there. Get Van Halen.
Who?
To reunite and play the Super Bowl halftime show.
I'm for Van Halen, Pearl Jam.
I don't think they're a Super Bowl halftime show.
I think Foo Fighters would be top of that list. I'd put Queen up there with Adam Lambert. I'd put AC/DC and Metallica and Guns N' Roses.
I feel like Kiss did do it. Kiss played at Super Bowl 33.
Oh, really?
I don't know that they did the halftime show, but I feel like Kiss did something along those lines. Super Bowl 33 was in Miami. I don't see Kiss. They did something. Kiss has been part of it at some point, but...
They probably did like
they
a
were going real
R&B
for a while. You know, like they had ZZ Top played some years ago. I don't know. But do something now with them. Because that year that Aerosmith did, it was like Aerosmith and NSYNC.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Britney Spears walk out?
They always feel
they have to temper it with pop music, which is fine.
But you could do that with a band like Queen, who has arena rock hits.
And a pop singer fronting the band.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, Dee Snider's always complaining about something, but this time I'm right on board.
I'd put Twisted Sister out there.
Yeah.
I'll feel that noise.
Yeah. So, yeah, Queen and Adam Lambert, whatever. Red Hot Chili Peppers, that's a band that could get out there.
Oh, Red Hot Chili Peppers would be a great...
They already did it.
Yeah.
With Bruno Mars.
Yeah, but wasn't it Bruno Mars
bringing
the
them
Chili
out?
Peppers?
It doesn't matter. Yeah. I mean, it was a co-headline. He was there for a decent amount. They were on stage for a lot of it.
Yeah.
I was expecting the sock on the dong.
That would have been nice.
I was disappointed.
All right. Hey, let me break.
Limp Bizkit. Nickelback. Nickelback.
Nickelback could totally do it.
Nickelback would be the most watched because there'd be people that want to genuinely watch them. And then there'd be a lot of people that just want to hate watch them.
And then they would know every single word to every one of their songs.
Nickelback.
Nickelback.
My vote is for Nickelback halftime show.
I agree.
Weird Al.
Okay.
All American
what about Nickelback
rejects?
With Weird Al?
Ooh, yeah, bring it on.
All American Rejects.
I'll keep you my dirty little secret.
Nickelback. Ladies and gentlemen, Weird Al Yankovic. And then they all do Eat It.
Yeah.
And, you know.
It'd be incredible.
Amish Paradise. Or 800-348-1007. You send me a text 35192. AlanCoxShow.com for everything else. Tribe ended up losing 2 out of 3 they played in Chicago against the White Sox. 8-0 was the final last night. So they will finish off the regular season in D.C. The first of that series against the Nationals happens tonight, 7:05 here in WMMS. Your FM home for Cleveland Indians baseball. But they're not out yet, right? Like they could
The odds aren't good.
Yeah, but they're not impossible.
They're not officially eliminated yet.
Okay. Who has to lose for them to...
The Rays have to pretty much lose out.
Lose out?
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Okay.
And even then, I think we might be tied with them. I don't know.
I was going to say, but if the Indians win all three against the Nationals, that doesn't...
That doesn't mean that
gotcha.
They'll get in. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, it'll happen tonight on MMS, and your pregame coverage will get going shortly after we get out of here at 6:30. Next week, I'm in the show. I'm going to have tickets for you for Bob Dylan, who is going to be doing a show. Yeah, Thomas Hall in Akron. Bob Dylan is going to play November the 9th. That is a guy, I mention it now because that's a guy who has rabid fans. I've never been a Dylan guy, but I have great respect for the, I guess, the work he does, you know, but never scratch my itch. But I'll have Dylan tickets for you next week. Also, Tim and Eric are on the Mandatory Attendance World Tour.
And gotta go to that.
They're going to play the Agora on February the 18th. So tickets, if you're a Tim and Eric fan. I feel like Tim Heidecker pops up in more things than Eric does.
I would agree with that.
Like, yeah. He was in Master of None, right? And he was in he does a bunch of his own things.
Funny, weird guys.
You saw that Arby's bought Jimmy John's pound cake? Does that change your world at all?
No.
Okay.
I mean, as long as they ain't buy Taco Bell, I'm fine.
No, isn't that, that's KFC, right? Yum Brands owns KFC and Taco Bell.
I think they own something else too. I want to say like Burger King or something.
Oh boy, look at that.
It's KFC, Taco Bell,
Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut.
Okay.
So I'm the company at the Pizza Hut. I'm at the Taco Bell. I'm at the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
What is that?
That's a song.
By whom?
The guy that sings.
Oh, the combination Pizza Hut?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so whoever owns Arby's bought Jimmy John's and, you know. Not that means anything to people, but
they ain't gonna run out of meats there at Jimmy John's, that's for sure.
Yeah,
because Arby has the meats.
Are they gonna share the meats with Jimmy John's?
Well, because
they own now.
They
I think
own,
they should combine it, make it freaky fast meat.
Oh, yummy!
Freak your meat.
Freak your meat.
Freak your meat.
Hey, everybody!
Come to Jimmy John's. Freak your meat.
That company owns B Dubs and Arby's and Sonic and all that, and Jimmy John's is started in Central Illinois. And so they're buying them.
I really have to have a taste for Jimmy John's. Like, it reminds me of a middle school lunch. Like, I'm going on a field trip, and my mom packed me, like, a field trip bologna
just that
sandwich.
White bread, that French bread.
I have to have a taste for it. Otherwise, like, I can't eat it.
Hmm.
Okay.
Now, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. It's
if you're keeping your pound cake fast food bingo card at home, don't mark Jimmy John's down just yet.
Not at the top of my list.
Just
not
wait until
he's in the right mood.
I feel like Jimmy John's is one of those things where it's like if you're on a trip and you see the logo on an exit sign, you go, ah, yeah, sure, I'll get a sandwich.
That's
fine. Yeah, that's fine. You put a couple of things on it. You know, the bread's all right. Nothing wrong with that. I was reading about this woman who spiked the bean dip that she took to a work potluck. She spiked the bean dip with meth.
Oh, boy.
And a lot of people, they did not have a good day that day.
No, why would you?
No.
You got meth, so you're all
crazy, and then you had bean dip, so you're all
farty. Yeah, crazy and farty.
Mm-hmm. I think about the person that like survives that, and say that if they have a job interview on Monday, like will the meth be out of their system, like when they take their drug test?
You know, we really like your qualifications. Your resume looks fantastic, but you've been pulling your hair out of your head this entire time. And I
just
certainly
holding
don't want,
me back.
I don't want to embarrass you, but you have completely bitten through your bottom lip.
Also
would you like a tissue?
Listen, I don't need bottom lips, and I don't need hair to do this job properly.
That's true. All that right? is
now
true.
Where are the kids? I'll go teach those kids.
Will you be consuming methamphetamine here at work on a regular basis?
I mean, do you want me to do a good job, or do you want me to...
Well, we want you to do a fast job. Do you need that to...
Then I will need the meth to do a fast job.
Fast is better than better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no,
are you also on meth?
Huh? What? No? Who? This lady works at some supermarket in Oregon, and she gave some coworkers a bean dip with methamphetamine in it. So there you go.
That seems...
She's working in the store's deli department.
Right? Like, you had to spend all that money on an item you're bringing to a work party, and then you got to buy the drugs, too? She getting reimbursed?
I don't know. That does not a good business model.
I mean, who wastes meth like that?
I know.
And who has spare meth laying around where you're like, I'll just throw some meth in here.
And the lady said that putting the meth in the food was an accident. You know how sometimes you'll be making, like, a three-bean mm-hmm. salad, and... you'll go, man, I only have two beans, and I need a third bean, but in lieu of that, I guess I'll just make meth my third bean. I wouldn't even know how to get meth. It can't be hard to get.
Nothing's
but if somebody
hard to
said,
no,
nah, I realize that, and I'm an industrious young lad, I'm sure I could figure it out, but if somebody said, Alan, go get me some meth, you know, of one of the big bosses here, mm-hmm. Knocked on my door and said, hey, what are you up to? And I said, just putting the show together.
I'm looking for some meth.
Could you do me a favor and go get me some meth? I'd have to be like, now don't get me wrong. I got a couple of people that I would immediately think to call and ask them.
I don't know if I have any meth friends.
I'm sure you do.
Party.
The thing is, you might have meth friends and you might not know they're meth friends or they're
like, how
meth
could you
adjacent.
Not know? Meth is not like coke. Like, I feel like if one of your friends was on meth,
I think there is more people that casually do meth than you think.
You think?
Just casually
think,
doing
meth? I don't feel like meth is a casual drug.
I think that's the stigma against meth, but I think there's a lot of people that do meth and function just fine.
You think faces of meth, like that stereotype, is the minority?
I think there are people that abuse meth to that degree.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the minority, but I think there are people just like... You had that friend that was doing heroin casually.
Yeah.
Now, I know it went off the rails eventually.
You did.
But there's some people that casually. Can do some drugs.
Yeah.
And they'll still go get out there. I mean, Adderall's meth.
Well, it's...
It's a controlled meth.
Yeah, it's a controlled meth.
But
right.
it's still got methamphetamines in it.
Right, but you're not going to have, like, you know, lose your teeth from Adderall.
Right.
I just find
And there's other ways of taking meth. Like, if you're smoking it, that's when your teeth... come out.
Yeah, but my understanding,
it, that's different.
Once you get that Glass D. Jones, baby, mm-hmm. then it's nonstop. My understanding is that meth is a real hard thing to not get addicted to.
Yeah.
Like, to not go down that road.
And that, again, propaganda.
You might be right.
Drug propaganda is
okay.
out there.
All right. I like to know. I like
now,
to know.
Now, having said that, I've never done meth, and I've never seen anyone do meth.
I would, casual just, meth user.
Yeah, I would like to know who the part-time tweakers in my midst are.
But I do know I have a friend that he talks about smoking crack for like a summer.
He smoked crack for a summer, then he was like...
Then he didn't, yeah.
I'm done.
I've heard of like that. I've heard of casual crack smokers,
yeah,
yes.
Like crack can be casual.
Yes.
But that's the thing. You think of crack heads, you don't think of people that just sometimes do some crack. There's plenty of people that do cocaine that aren't coke heads.
I mean, you certainly never see a photo of somebody who got picked up for meth and go, wow, they look so put together. I mean, mm-hmm. they always look like they're a meth head.
At what point do you transition from casual crack smoker to crack head? Like, what's the transformation period?
Well, like you lose a job.
Money.
Or, yeah, when you're doing things you normally wouldn't do.
When your lifestyle changes.
There you go. Because there's a lot of people who do drugs who are like, I've never lost a wife, mm-hmm. a car, a house. They're like hard drugs.
Yeah. They
but this
exist.
Lady
just they
could
just do it.
She could not resist putting meth in the bean dip.
Said it was an accident.
She said it was an accident.
Which, if you use meth, I think it would be an accident. I just don't know what you mistake for
math when you're making that bean dip. When you're making, like,
hey, are these Yankee beans? I think that's meth. Put it in there anyway.
This
I don't
Pinterest
care.
Recipe is crazy. I gotta get some meth.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really know. What I know about it is probably as much as anybody else knows who doesn't do it. Don't know. But this lady looks like she would know.
She looks like a method.
Yeah, she looked. I mean, and I guess she was already a felon for something mm-hmm. Similar. But, you try to work your way back into the community, and she's got a job at this grocery store. And,
she's probably kicking herself. She's like, man, that meth was for me.
That was for me, and then I forgot to put
bean
in
dip.
Oh, God.
You know how hard it is to eat bean dip when you're on meth? You're not hungry at all.
I don't even like beans, and now I have to eat all this dip to get my money's worth.
In my Mercedes Benz.
That's right.
That's where you're not supposed to eat beans.
No. Hey, Kenneth.
Hey, hate the show.
How are you, Kenneth?
I am doing well. All right, so I would do meth recreationally.
There you go.
Oh, good for you.
Like, if I was at a party and it was around, I'd snort a couple lines. I'm not injecting it or anything, but do Special K. I'd say maybe like once every 7 months on purpose. I would do that recreationally.
Right.
What's Special K?
It's ketamine, yeah?
Yep. Yes, it is. Okay. So I would, if I was going camping for a long weekend, I would, I'd get some with some friends and we'd get crazy.
It's like an anesthetic though. I mean, you just kind of.
Oh, no, it's beyond anesthesia. That's,
Special K, that's one of the drugs they were using in, Hustlers.
Ah.
Okay. Using ketamine and HGH, or not HGH, HGB, is that it?
GHB.
GHB.
Yeah. Sorry. There you go.
All these drugs.
Hey, so we're out there. We're out there.
Yeah. So, Kenneth, you used to do that, or you still do it recreationally?
I've become responsible.
What stopped you?
Just having kids, getting married. And
oh, okay.
Stuff.
So, you didn't get, like, thrown in the tank or anything, and then, like, you
no,
just...
No. It literally was one camping trip every summer, for sure. I would, hit the K-hole.
You would look forward to... Well, that was the Special K, though, but for the meth, you wouldn't just do it once a year.
No. The meth was, I would say, maybe... It was if Coke was around, it would be more that I would be more interested in that. But if it was around, I'd do it.
Wow,
every 5 months.
People are fierce.
Sound like you really threaded the needle would there. You, I could have really gone south on a couple of occasions, I imagine.
And you would just snort it. You wouldn't smoke it.
Yeah, no, I would snort quite a bit of it. Yep.
And then how long did it affect you? Like, because I know with Coke, you're high for a little while, and then the come down's pretty quick. But with meth, it lasts a lot longer, right?
I would say I was spending for a good 6 hours.
Oh, my God.
But the K-hole, you have no control over bodily functions or anything. And
sounds like a great terrifying. Time. Yeah. Hey, how was it? It was awesome. I crapped myself, and it was so much. Can't wait to do it again next year, guys. Yeah, see you later. Yeah, wow.
I don't camping like crap.
Do your kids know this about you?
Oh, hell no. No, or excuse me, no.
Your wife knows, though.
Yeah, I think she does.
He's like, how do you think I met her? She sold me the meth.
I think a story has came out once or twice before with friends around.
Yeah, his name's Kenneth. His friends start, she's like, why do your friends call you K-hole?
She didn't partake in it with you?
Oh, no, never. No, okay. This was before I met her.
Okay.
Why do your friends all call you Special Kenneth?
Special K.
Oh, well, yeah.
All right, thank you, Kenneth.
We're out there. Have a great weekend.
All right, baby, thank you. There's Kenneth. We're out there. We out here. Mm-hmm. There you go. Boy, he's living that life. So there you go, Kenneth. That's if he ever calls the show again, that's what he'll be doing. Kenneth, the recreational meth...
Just call him Special K.
Recreational tweaker. Special Kenneth, yeah. But wow, all right.
I mean, I always found it weird, especially now that, like, I'm out of that phase in college where everyone is trying, drugs. I always found it funny that the people that were selling drugs or, like, doing a lot of drugs in college, they're now, like, lawyers, police officers, like, people in power, people on my Facebook page. I'm like, wow, he's getting married and he's, like, has a bunch of kids. I'm like, man, he was always, like, the tweaker in school. And now look at him. Probably.
Well, and I know people did ecstasy at raves and things like that, party drugs, but that's talking different. About, well, I mean, there's a whole class of methamphetamines. I'm talking about, like, people that are doing, like, you know, Breaking Bad type stuff where they're, like, in a dark house and they can't get out of it, and there's a lot of that. But Bill, you're saying those people, they're minority.
Again, not the minority. I'm just saying there are people that do it recreationally. Okay. And I'm saying there's plenty of people that get addicted to it, and I'm not recommending doing it, but I'm saying there's people that will do drugs, and they'll do all of them, and they won't ruin their life over it.
A lot of people are texting me that that woman might have mistaken the meth for salt in her bean dip.
She's putting in there like Salt Bay, just like...
Meth Bay! Hey, look at her! Yeah. Alan, the bigger question is, who in the blue F would eat bean dip? A lot of people like bean dip.
Hey, I like good bean dip.
It's not for me, necessarily, but a lot of people like bean dip.
I like a taco dip.
Like they like to dip their chips in a dip.
I'll double dip in a bean dip.
You'll double dip, of course. Mm-hmm. It's like putting your whole mouth in the dip. Just take a bite and end it. Dip one time.
Myth busted.
That's right. And end it. Yeah, they did bust that, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
I'm not a dip guy. If I have a...
there's not one dip that you
French
like
French onion dip.
Okay, that's a good one.
Like a Ruffles potato chip and a French onion dip.
Ooh, yeah.
But I just dab it. I don't scoop. I dab it.
Of course.
Well, I do. I mean, I know, but I don't like to be greedy.
Of course, you are a dab, not a dip.
I'm not dainty about it. I don't scoop.
What about...
It's too much.
Like chips and salsa.
Yeah, salsa, sure. Okay, absolutely. Okay. But I don't think of that as a dip. That's just tomatoes and peppers, you know what I mean? But pico de gallo. But the people that are like way into the dips, like the seven layer and
give me the buffalo chicken dip. I will destroy some of that.
Somebody goes, hey, you know what? I've got an amazing two layer dip. And they go, that's not enough layers for dip.
All right. Two and a half.
No. I need five, three, six, seven layers on this dip. Layers of what?
You get some sour cream. You get some, they put cream cheese in there.
Cream cheese?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
You can get some beans, and you can get some, I don't know, cheese.
Seven-layer dip.
All sorts of stuff.
Wow. Seven layers. I mean, I can't even think of three things that I would want to be layered and eat. Beans, guac, sour cream, veggies, cheese. Wow. Bring and that's not even all seven.
It's a start, though.
I guess it's a start. Wow.
Give me those layers.
So what, you just basically throw a bunch of taco stuff
in a
bowl?
Dip, yeah.
Then, yeah. Okay.
And then scoop it up with a chip.
All right.
It's delightful. They're thin layers, though.
Yeah, I know. I know they're not thick layers, but still.
But that way you get a little bit of something, of everything, in each little scoop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a dipper and not a scooper, I think you would appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm not a scooper.
Not a scooper.
Okay, what did you get Halsey for her birthday?
It's her birthday?
What's going to be on Sunday?
I should probably get her like some cleanser or something to fix her situation.
Poundcake thinks that Halsey has mustard crotch, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Say her crotch probably smells like mustard.
I would imagine.
I don't think so either. I think she probably smells like an unbelievably amazing mix of... she probably smells like patchouli and weed and, you know, that kind of like...
That's what you want in the crotch area?
Oh, man. In the crotch area? I think all over she probably smells like that. That's a great smell. Like when Dean Del Rey was in here, he smelled good, boy.
He
kind of had that weed and patchouli smell. It's not a bad smell.
I think Halsey smells... like she's just probably got some... like Bath and Body Works
spray think?
Going. Oh, yeah.
Some weed and lavender?
Yeah.
But I defy you to show me why her crotch would smell like mustard.
I don't think her crotch would smell like mustard.
No.
I think it might have its own unique scent, but it doesn't mean it's a bad scent.
That's awful. She's going to be 25 on Sunday, Poundcake.
I'll forever hate her.
Why?
Because.
She'd send her something. She was just at our music festival.
I don't care.
She's adorable.
Why do you hate her?
And she's talented, and she's trying to figure her life out at such a young age.
She slayed G-Eazy. I don't need that.
Well, that's one strike against her, but whatever.
He didn't cheat on her.
Yeah, that was like the whole thing.
Because he probably was tired of smelling mustard all the time. Every time he tried to...
It's like you're at the ballpark every time you're hanging out with her. What's the bad thing about that? You go, man, I could go for a hot dog right now.
Little Bertman's.
Yeah, that's okay.
Wait, is it yellow or is it spicy?
It's brown. Yeah, it's spicy and brown.
I would imagine so.
If he sounds super excited to see you...
Hey, what's up?
Remember, he is a paid performer.
As a broadcaster, he's real good.
Alan Cox on 100.7 WMMS.
Hey, Mike Winfield's here. Cuts a very interesting silhouette, my friend.
Hey.
Welcome to Cleveland.
Hey, thank you, man. I love Cleveland.
Right into the pandering to the Clevelanders. Good for you.
Oh,
he knows what side his bread is buttered.
That's right.
Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. I miss that place. I haven't been shot at in a long time.
Baltimore.
Yeah, it's exciting, right?
Well, this could be your weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
Make you feel like you're at home.
I have friends who live there, but I've never been. And for all the bad...
Don't rush.
Yeah, but for all the bad rap that it gets, people tell me, they're like, Baltimore's a great city. It's beautiful, and it's, you know...
You know what?
You might have it, as a native, you probably have a different take on it.
Thing is, I was engulfed in it. I lived there. But, you know, I mean, you go to places like the Inner Harbor, there are beautiful parts, and,
sure,
you know, people are cool. But, you know, it's always like, find your spots.
Right.
You know, and it's always good when you know where you are. Versus just popping in like, hey, I'm going to just try this. Don't just try that.
Right.
That's not one of those places.
Is that a really segregated city?
Yeah.
That sounds like a stupid question. But, like, I grew up in Chicago, and it used to be that you knew where not to go. If you were black, you knew where not to go if you were white. And now it's all kind of mixed up because they shut all the projects down. They bulldozed them so they could put up targets. And all these people, black and white and everything in between, all these people got spread out. So now all these people complain that... I can't go anywhere. I might get shot, you know? So I wonder if Baltimore has...
I'll ask.
Hey, where can I go?
Yeah, right.
Have there been any recent murders in this neighborhood? Mike is at Hilarities tonight through Sunday, yes?
You doing it tonight? Yeah. Tonight through Sunday? No, through Saturday.
Through Saturday night.
Tonight, tomorrow. Yeah. I like to get it in real quick.
No,
that's my
Sunday.
Style.
Good for you.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
The latest hour on Amazon is called Step Man. Yes?
Oh, absolutely.
Tell me about Step Man.
Yeah.
You have an unusual life.
Yeah, I do. My wife, I'm married. She's older, and I got a stepson. Me and him, we're like the same age, so I call him Step Man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And, now, how old are you?
Oh, man. I am up there.
And no. How do you meet a woman who's, you know, there's a lot of guys, you know, get some notoriety, get some success. They're looking for, like, man, teenager adjacent is they're looking for, right? You went the other way.
Well, yeah, because this happened before success, man. It was when we were both working at the grocery store. She's older, so she was the manager. I was the bagger. Then I bagged her.
So you've been together a long time, then.
Yeah, we have, man. She's my first wife. You know, that's the one that you work it all out. And then you get that second wife, man, where it's amazing. You know, you lay the cards on the table. Yeah. You know who you are by then.
Yeah.
You know, but no, she's sticking it out. So we're working it out.
Yeah. I'm on number two. So far, so good.
Hey, I feel like with number two, don't you know what you want when you're walking in? Isn't that how it works? And you get to, like,
set your
rules.
Well, and you also know what you don't want.
That's exactly a powerful thing, whereas those of us in our first one, we're tippy-toeing around our emotions, and is it okay to share this and that? And I don't know if that's, like, appropriate way to be married.
I mean, I never planned on getting divorced and getting married again, but it's like, you know, my parents... It's like,
is she on notice right now?
She would leave me first, but I don't think she's leaving.
Is it just the one step kid?
No, there's another one too, man. We got another one.
Do you two have any kids?
Yeah, we had one. But, you know, man, the thing with, they don't tell you with, like, babies and stuff. You, like, I didn't know, if you don't have a car seat, they won't let you take the baby home from the hospital. So, he's still there. You know,
I got to meet this kid. Yeah,
that's got to be some. Everything is expensive at a hospital, though. So, yeah, it's kind of a wash.
It's a good life. Yeah, he won't, you know, he's cared.
But so where do you, you don't live in Baltimore still?
No, we're in Los Angeles.
Are out there, okay.
Yeah,
is she in the biz, or is she?
No.
No, she's not still at the grocery store.
Not at all. Her goal was to stay home, you know? She stays home, and she's a house person. And,
so you hit the road and make the money, and...
Right. So she supports the career, because it helps her stay home.
Somebody texted me, I mentioned you were coming in, somebody said you were in Satanic Panic.
Oh my gosh,
you Were
heard of that movie?
I just watched it, but I don't remember you in it.
I'm one of the pizza guys early in the beginning.
I gotta watch it again.
I can't believe this movie's being mentioned. This is great. I didn't know it was out there like that.
I was excited. I had heard about it for a while because it's Rebecca Romijn.
Yes.
And it's this girl who delivers pizzas, and she gets to this house, and they turn out to be like the Satan cult or whatever.
Oh, yeah, they need a virgin.
Yeah, because I love all that kind of horror movie stuff, and so I keep my eye on that. But I watched it. I don't remember you in it. Now I feel bad.
Yeah, unless they cut my scene because I haven't watched it. No,
I got to watch it again.
I know I'm in it because someone took a screenshot of it.
Well, yeah, because the person who texted me said, I think I mentioned the movie before, and they were like, Mike's in Satanic Panic.
Hey, man, I'm in a lot of movies. People just don't know it's me or something. I think when I get to acting, I'm like a chameleon.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, were you doing stand-up before the acting or vice versa?
No, I was doing stand-up, man. I feel like stand-up is my way into all of this.
Sure.
The problem is I'm beginning to hate everything. I think I only like stand-up.
Well, because
like,
stand-up is you get to go up, be yourself, and leave.
Right.
Whereas, like, if you're doing I've done very little acting, but it's still a lot of waiting around.
Yeah.
And it's annoying.
It's disgusting for me because, you know, like, I'm grateful for auditions, but then I'm looking at the auditions. Like, currently, I have what I'm supposed to do now, and the whole family's Italian, and I'm supposed to play the son, but the show's not written where they got a black son.
Right.
So it's like, it's not even explained. So why are you even bringing me in for this audition so we could just fit a number? So I'm like, I'm gonna still do it.
You're like, hey, what's going on? Mama, dad, I love you.
Hey, man, so all this stuff is frustrating.
Deep Sicilian.
Yeah.
You might as well.
Stand up is a joy, though. Yeah. Stand up is like, it's in my pocket.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing that. Now I'm just
you're very good at it, too. So it's good that you like it because you're also incredibly funny and also pretty unique in that you are, I don't see you up there as like, a lot of comics go up there like, I don't like this, I complain about this, but you have like a real fun attitude on stage.
Yeah, you know, I figured it out. I mean, I've been doing it so long that I kind of get it now, and I think that's the gift of any stand-up to get to the point of their craft where, you know, they found their own lane.
Mm-hmm.
I have found mine.
Yeah. Now, what was the move for you? Like, was there a point where you're like, I think I might finally be getting this down after however many years? Or was it just an incremental thing?
Incremental. And, you know, here's the thing. You never stop figuring it out.
Right.
Every weekend, you're like, oh, this, that, this. And it's never going to stop.
I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're people, like chasing something.
Because you'll hear people who are just starting out or people who are young and, you know, there's no shortcuts, obviously, but you also understand where there's like people who are always looking for the shortcut, and they're like, well, when do you know when you make it or whatever? It's like, there really is no making it.
No.
You just, and you don't, why would you want to? Why would you want to get to an end point?
Right.
Because then what's after that? You're like,
you know,
now I'm on the downside of making it. You don't want that.
But see, I remember being on the other side of it when you were young and you were like, but I'm good. Experience doesn't have to matter if you're just talented.
Yeah.
But that's the other side. And when I look back, no. I think even guys that drop specials at 10 years, I think you might like it. It might be some parts, but it's not ready for the world yet. I think you got to ripen and you got to dig in and become the greatest version of you instead of this trash that they're putting out after 8 and 10 years. That is not, it's just, it's disrespectful to give it to people.
It's it's also a lot of, luck too, because there are, whether it's acting or whether it's singing or whatever, there's a lot of crazy talented people that we've never heard of.
Oh yeah. The business is flooded, and that's great. I mean, I'm a fan of art, so I want to be touched. I want to be pushed to be, you know, like motivated.
Right.
And I'm only motivated when I respect and see talent. Like when I see trash, it just hurts.
Right.
You know, it just turns me off.
Yeah. And to you, that's what? Like somebody just doing some hacky stuff or somebody you know, you can tell that they don't have their own voice yet.
I don't care if they don't have their own voice because people are trying to get there. It's just when people don't take the road of originality, when they're just like, you know, like you said earlier, like shortcuts. Like, I know this is funny. I'm just going to do this.
Or I'm
going to just try this route because I know it works or it's easy. Like, that depresses me.
And
I hate it because I love this so much.
Yeah. And living in the YouTube era and the Instagram comedian era where there's a lot of people that will get notoriety or fame online, and then they'll come into comedy clubs and they'll do these things, and their fans are just there for them. They don't actually respect the art of stand-up, or they don't even appreciate that they're seeing someone that's just doing some really boring, lame stuff.
But they don't even know,
right? Because
there's nothing to compare it to.
Right.
So to them, they're like, well, I get to see this guy in person, and I get an autograph, and they're happy.
Yeah.
And they paid their money, so I'm not too mad at it. It's just kind of like, dang, man, I need some some cheesy online stuff. I got to figure something
but
out.
You need to, there's a balance to it, too. You got to find something to get people's attention, but still have, like you said, the originality.
Yeah, right. And, you know, I'm just locked in stand-up. I'm just going to talk about my life. And the thing is, I'm in my dream. Like, I'm in movies.
It's
I'm pitching television shows. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm touring on the road. So it's kind of like I'm doing what I want to do, but you always feel like, keep going, because mm-hmm. you don't know how long this lasts, you know?
Yeah, you don't know when you're out of showbiz. No one tells you when you're out of showbiz.
Oh,
you just go,
man.
Oh, I guess I'm done now. I mean, you don't be like, I'm retiring, everyone. Oh,
man,
you know?
They chew you up and spit you out.
You're just like, I guess I'm done now.
I'm riding a current wave right now, because I had an hour special drop about 3 weeks ago on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
So that's out. So right now, I'm on a wave, and it's just like, why I'm here? I gotta make it happen, because you know what? In another
strike
8
while
months,
the iron's hot.
I'll be that guy they're not calling.
Right.
So
yeah.
Right now it's hot. I'm riding, and I get it.
Sure.
I've been on both ends. When I was on The Office, I was hot. I was on there. It was hot, and then you know things cool. You don't get the call, but you start to get it how this works.
It's a lot of stop and start.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
You know? So you got to find the joy. You have to love it. Because if you're doing it just for a certain reason, just for money or just for this, oh, man, it's going to make you, like, dark inside. And I don't think I'm dark inside as far, well, you know, outside. But from the stand-up perspective, but just from, you know, all this other just, around it.
Mike Winfield's at Hilarities tonight. Two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow, 7 and 9:30 both nights. You can go to pickwickandfrolic.com for the info. The hour on Amazon is called Step Man. You were on the Brad Paisley thing, too.
Yeah, right.
That was on Netflix. How did that come about?
Hey, man, I did this festival called the Wild West Comedy Festival. And, you know, I had, like, a week
the
when
Vince
they told
Vaughn
me.
Thing?
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
So I had about 8 days, and they were like, yeah, you're working with Brad Paisley. And I'm like, who? You know, so I look up Brad Paisley because I don't know him at the time. And then I see in his music that, oh, man, this guy's funny.
Yeah.
Like, he's making
I went to college
efforts.
With his wife.
Oh man. Yeah, yeah, she's cool. I met her, too.
She's very sweet.
Right. And he was like, I saw that he has a sense of humor, and he was putting in his music. So I found a particular song. I wrote a joke about one of his songs, and I performed it at this, you know, festival on the show. And then he comes to me, and he's like, bro, that's amazing. You just made that up? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, he doesn't know that comedians write stuff, and they, like, workshop it for months, you know? So I had a week, and he loved it. And after that,
what you're trying to say is Lil Nas X ripped you off.
Yeah, man,
if I'm
did.
Hearing you correctly,
I was
and I
there
think
first,
that I,
man.
Yes,
I got time dates and stamps on this. I was out, you know, and yeah, man, he saw that and he was like, "Hey, man, I would like you to, you know, be in a Netflix special."
Sure.
But he was like, "But I need you to do that joke."
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, man, it was a great experience. A lot of new fans.
Nothing
from
wrong
it.
With versatility either.
Hey, man, if you funny, you funny. That's how I feel. You can play in any room,
right? So you, what are you pitching? You said you're pitching TV shows to people.
Oh, absolutely, man. A few, man. One of them is literally me and Stepman.
Yes. Yeah.
It's me and my, like,
your
old
life.
Stepson.
How much older is the wife, and what's the age difference between you and the son?
I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
There's photos right now on Facebook and Instagram. So if you go to Mike E. Winfield, you can see the real Stepman.
Yeah.
And he's 25, but the thing about his 25 is, he's not eating well, so he's aging rapidly. I mean, it's accelerated. He looks like trash, and we tell him
looks
this
like
all the time.
Looks like that app where you age your face.
Yeah, he looks like he has the age app. And here's the thing. He's an attractive guy.
Yeah.
Like, I go anywhere with him. The ladies, they catch his eyes. You know, they don't care about me.
Right.
You know, like, he's hub. He lifts weights. He's just aging so fast because he throws just trash in his bloodline. And, you know, that's the thing, but that's one option, man. And every time I do a show, people are like, why is that not a show? I'm like,
sure,
it will be.
It will be.
It will be.
Yeah.
You know, I just need whoever's listening and got $1 million to spare. You want to invest. Let's just make it on our own. Yeah, you don't need
DIY.
Hollywood anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. You DIY your shows. Just make it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he does look bad.
Oh, man, I'm telling
you. No, that's Patrice.
He looks really bad these days. Patrice. Poor Patrice.
Find him, man. It's a picture of him and I standing next to a wall, right?
Yeah, I got it.
So did you start doing it in Baltimore? Was it like in high school or, or did you move and then start doing it?
I did. It was like immediately after high school. I moved to Sacramento, Northern California.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I like going to crappy cities, man.
Bakersfield was packed.
Yeah, it was.
I'll go over to Sactown.
Absolutely. And yeah, I just started, man. I just jumped in, from some stuff. Feeling the speech class. I love
so
speech
who
class.
who caught your eye first, or whose eye did you catch first? I mean, somebody saw you and put you on something else, or did you just grind your way through?
Man, that was it. Yeah. That was it. Because what happens in stand-up is you're doing it once a week when you first start, and then the addiction becomes, and now you start to lose your family. And then you're doing it twice a week the next week. And then you get booked in Oregon for $50, which is like 6 hours away, and you're like, hell yeah. I love
Can't
Oregon.
Keep a girlfriend,
Right. And so, man, you just continue as... I never quit. That's the thing, man. Like, my relationship, we've been on the rocks, but comedy, I've never stopped doing it. And it's one of those passions that, especially when you already have like a relationship, man, it can really tamper.
It's also a double-edged sword too, because on the one hand, somebody who's into you is going to be attracted to your passion, because there's a lot of people walking around don't really know what they want to do,
right?
Or they're just kind of sleepwalking through their life. So on the one hand, when you first meet your girlfriend or your wife or whatever, she's like, there's something going on there. And then as it goes on and on and on, and you're following that,
right,
there's a danger of that tipping point where they're like, well, you're always gone.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't plan for that. It's going to happen.
I think in the beginning, the passion is attractive.
It always is.
And
I
think it goes in any career. I think people that are good at what they do, you're just attracted. It could be the hostess at a restaurant. Like, dang, she took me right to my seat.
She knew right where table 10 was.
Oh, man, that turned me on. But eventually, I think it does. It just wears off.
Yeah. And she brought us waters before our
I shouldn't have to do that.
Not too much ice. Oh, man. Oh, man. I had a four top to myself. It was beautiful.
The passionate hostess.
The passionate
hostess. You should pitch that one.
Yeah, you go. Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's what I do.
Something for your wife. Right. Maybe you're going to play the passionate hostess. How do you like that? It's going to be on Cinemax After Dark.
Now, with all those different, I'm sure you've done like pilot season and all that stuff.
Yes.
And things that like were so close, you're like, this is it. And then you get that, they're like, they're passed.
Let me tell you the heartbreak.
Yeah.
So Gabriel Iglesias had a show on ABC.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I test for it. And I get like near the end, I'm in the room with all the execs. And I were in there kind of together. So we know how each other did. And mine went extraordinary and it went well. So I find out later that I didn't like not get it because of so much talent. I got it because of, I didn't get it because of who was on the show, and they had to make sure like the show had a
was rounded level, out. Yeah.
Was rounded out.
It's like
out.
Puzzle pieces. Yeah. Right.
And oh man, that was painful.
Yeah.
Getting to the callback and is one thing, and then they have what's called the test, which is like the final two or three people.
Sure.
And man, you work so hard and you get this close. And you know, like your first check when you're like an actor or like a guest star even, it's like a 30K check for an actor.
Yeah.
And you see it. You see the light of day for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just all taken away. Each time they just pull it from you.
Because they're looking at you're on your side doing your thing going, I got it. And they're on their side going, can we market this? How is this going to be marketed? Yes. They're seeing a billboard of everybody laid out because they have to.
Yeah.
It's part of it.
And that's their job.
Yeah.
Right.
But it seems like a lot of times those shows that end up being the perennial hits are like Always Sunny and South Park and, the shows like that where they didn't let the network tamper too much.
Yeah.
And it's like if they go, all right, you guys are funny, make the funny show, and then we'll figure out around that. I don't think they do that enough with television shows.
You know, I agree. And I think that's the good part about streaming.
Yeah.
You know, they're like taking more risk and chances. You know, they're giving creators more flexibility and even trust. So I think that's helping. Even Amazon is starting to pick up, a lot of shows now. You know, Netflix has been doing it. And I think that's really great for art. To not be in this narrow-minded view of it has to look like this in order for it to be successful, instead of it just being a great piece of work.
Especially if it's cheap.
Yeah.
And it's sink or swim, if they don't have so much money in it, they're like,
it's even bleeding over to networks, because like a show like The Office, it wasn't an immediate hit.
that was a slow burn to get to where they were. Right. And then it actually became more popular after it had already run and was on Netflix.
Absolutely.
That brought it to another level. And then you have shows like The Good Place or Superstore, which they have like a very loyal following that they just like, all right, we're going to keep these on the air rather than just pull them up because people are watching it on Hulu and they're watching it on these other streaming services and waiting.
I got a whole new fan base just from the episodes I did on season 8 of The Office.
Yeah.
So now in colleges, they're like quoting my lines. Mm-hmm. They know my character, you know?
And right.
Just through that, what you're saying, a whole new energy of people have just like jumped on.
Yep.
Mike Winfield is at Hilarities downtown tonight and tomorrow, 7 and 9:30 both nights. You can go to pickwickandfrolic.com. MikeWinfield.com for all his info. What's the E stand for?
Oh, yeah, man. Electric. I wish I could have something good, man. I never have anything cool, man. When I was on Letterman, he asked me that question, yeah. And I froze and said, Elefante? And then he's like, really? And I'm like, nah. And
it was the most pretty funny, though.
Awkward TV.
Elefante.
Watching, I bet you it was hilarious, but it was so awkward in the moment, man.
Yeah. Listen, you can't go wrong with either Electric or Elefante, so it's all good. Well, it's nice to meet you. Thank you for coming in, man.
Pleasure, man.
We got the Bill Squire Friday get down in an hour and some change.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready for it.
Courtesy of Cleveland Whiskey. Friday, of course, I was surprised at how many people back in the sales department are still around. Usually Friday, they're all out, but they're all out back there now.
They're
commiserating and having some brews and the whole thing.
Friday was work from home
from
day.
From home day.
But only during the summer.
Oh.
So now they're back to Wednesday's work from home, and then Fridays they're back in the office.
I thought they were making up for lost time because most of them were at the
iHeart. Because slackers and lazy?
No, the iHeartRadio Music Festival. I thought they were just making up for lost time. And
you could do that from home, though.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
No, I was talking to one of them. She said, she goes, hey, FYI, I got a friend who works down at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, and so she's trying to get Romo Fijo going from the inside.
Nice.
Yes.
Go down there tomorrow.
A listener sent me the logo that he made for Romo Fijo.
I saw that. It's great. Big fan.
It looks really professional.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have, I don't know what the exact date. What's the date of the Cavs home opener?
The 23rd, I believe, of October.
That's the season opener, I think. Because they're in Orlando to play the Magic on the 23rd, I think.
Okay, so maybe the 20th.
Shortly thereafter.
4th or 25th? I don't know.
Be John Beilein's inaugural season, of course, of the Cavaliers. But it's going to be basketball season again very, very soon. And we're planning on doing a Just the Tip off a live show. So when we get all that information, we'll have it for you. But yeah, I think the season opens October 23rd against the Magic.
Okay, yeah.
That's a road game.
26th.
The 26th. Yeah. There you go.
Pacers.
Beautiful. Oh, yeah? Reggie Miller?
No, not him.
He's not with the Pacers anymore?
No.
The 26th is the home opener?
Looks like.
That's a Saturday.
Is that? Yeah, because, I mean, there's...
Really?
The 23rd is...
All right.
Against Orlando, and that's in Orlando.
Oh, okay.
So the first one is going to be the 26th?
All right, well, then somebody better tell them that. There ain't going to be no Just a Tip on a Saturday. All right, well,
not a broadcast anyway. We could still probably do like some sort of party, right?
Yeah, maybe.
I think, yeah. All right, we'll figure it out.
All right.
It's not our job to figure out.
It is not. Mm-hmm. That's right. I was reading that, remember Stormy Daniels, where she was front and center for all of the whatchamacallit with Trump?
She's out there doing stand-up now.
What?
Right?
Really?
That was like the last thing that was out there, is that she's out doing stand-up.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah.
What, just Trump jokes?
Yes, I don't even...
Oh. Well, I saw that the city of Columbus is paying her $450,000 over that. Those cops that, drummed up those charges at the strip club. Yeah. There's a whole big internal investigation. Some months ago, she got arrested when she was performing in a club in Columbus, and the cops there, I guess, thought they were, I don't know, pro-Trump cops who thought that they were doing some.
Bet you Avenatti was behind it. I don't trust him now.
Well, he's not even her lawyer anymore. But
he was then.
But she settled with the city of Columbus. Her lawyer was like, look, she could have gotten a lot more money from them, but they told her that they would implement some policies, and she's fine with that, and so she's making $450,000 from the city of Columbus. Stand-up.
Not a bad weekend.
No, it's not a bad weekend.
I just saw that she was out with, like,
Like, she's on a tour with other comics.
Really?
Yeah.
She's not out with Mike Winfield, is she?
No.
All right, well, get him back in here. Maybe they can make something happen there. Stormy Daniels stand-up. That's the first I heard of that.
Yeah, because there's people freaking out like, oh, Stormy Daniels took away weeks and comedy
clubs.
Wow. Like, no, she's okay. Not on a Tuesday.
The Joke Joint Comedy Club. This is in March. She was doing it. She said, I've been writing material for over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there you go. She had done some stuff with UCB in L.A., and she's done some acting. Anyway. So, there you go.
I thought I saw a comedian we were just talking about the other day is doing some dates with her, I think, in Wisconsin.
Okay.
So,
I would find it very hard to focus on her jokes.
Yeah.
Because she is very well endowed. Yeah. She got a huge rack, mm-hmm. is what I'm trying to say. Big old rack. She's trying to dance around it, but she's a porn star. What am
Big
I doing?
Old boobies.
The guy, I can't bring myself to rip on the guy from Smash Mouth. Just because, you know, right before 9/11, he had like a 6-month-old son who died. So I always think of that whenever this guy pops up in the news for something douchey. And I know people like to rip on Smash Mouth. They were like the precursor to Nickelback when it comes to making fun of bands. But, you know, I don't know how you get past losing a kid.
Oh.
But his current fiance put a restraining order out on him.
Aww.
Because he was drinking too much, and she said he likes to throw her around, I guess. So if you're a Smash Mouth fan, and I have to imagine that those people are out there in a non-ironic sense, and they might keep it to themselves, as I think I might, but you think that somebody would be out there keeping tabs on him, Steve Harwell, and going, boy, I hope things work out for him. Because he has basically become Smash Mouth. Like, I'm sure people probably call him Smash Mouth.
Yeah, right.
They don't know his name, but he's the only guy that's, like, still an original member of the band. We played that video clip years ago of him throwing, or the audio clip of him throwing, people were throwing bread at him or something, right?
Right.
He was at some beer fest or something.
Or something, yeah.
Something, and people were throwing loaves of bread at him, and, you know. He's an easy target, I guess. But it would suck. Here you had some, it's going to be a weird thing where you've done songs that people like. People genuinely like a couple of your songs. They love All Star. They love Walking on the Sun. You did the Monkees cover for Shrek.
You did a couple of covers for Shrek.
You got your points on the pop culture curve, but people go, hey, what's up, Smash Mouth? And you're out there going, Jesus, I just, what? And then you start drinking. Hello?
Speaking of start drinking.
Why are you calling me on one of the listener lines?
I thought the same thing. I was like, huh?
That's why I said hello, because I thought it was just going to be somebody trolling me.
No, it's really him.
Chris Ty from formerly of WKYC Channel 3. Now with the big 2, WBBM Channel 2 in Chicago.
That's right. I noticed the Eddie Shorts there.
Are you out in the field and bored?
No, I'm not. I'm actually back in the. I'm leaving Cleveland. We are loading up finally today, and I'm driving for the final time out of. Well, not for the final time, but at least from a moving standpoint, kind of the final farewell to our house and all that.
Oh yeah.
It's been a slow drip of retransitioning into the Chicago lifestyle.
Sure. And I assume that the month of September, your lovely wife, Nadine, has been champing at the bit to join you in Chicago.
She is eager. And so she's ready to roll. And so it's been, I've been there for like 4 weeks working, but she's been here until our apartment's ready and yada, yada, yada. So I just thought the symbolic leaving Cleveland, heading west, on a Friday afternoon, I had you guys on. I said, you know, I'm going to give them a call. And the reason I called on the listener line is my phone's all screwed up, so I don't have the private line.
He already deleted us out of his phone. He's like, I'm going to Chicago. No. I don't need these schlubs anymore.
He has a deluxe apartment in the sky.
Of course not.
Well, listen, here he is on his way out of Cleveland. He goes, well, not for the final time. And in his mind, he's like, probably the final time. Probably the final time.
You know, one of your astute listeners who are all, not all, but most of them so great, they had a great line. They go, what do I do if I really like Chris Ty's sense of humor, but I have no interest in Chicago?
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty on point. I can't argue with that.
Well, it's like when people give me a hard time when I retweet Bears things. I'm like, well, right. You know,
it's part of who you are.
I don't know what to tell you.
I'm a human being. Yeah. Right, exactly. I have interests and likes and dislikes.
That's right. But so far, anyway, so far, so good. The Channel 2 is everything you would hope for and more, I hope?
Yeah, it's. I'll tell you this, and this is not a knock on the Cleveland market, but every day in Chicago, there's a story that's as big as the biggest story of the month in Cleveland.
Sure.
Meaning, like, yesterday, we had nothing going on, and then all of a sudden, they're like, hey, the FBI is raiding 4 village halls in the Southwest.
All right, we'll try and have more crime. You want to say more crime? We only got one mayor.
He can only do so much. Yeah.
He like,
I know.
How
I
about
know.
His grandson so many times?
Yeah. He's franchising it out to his family members, but, they, you know.
I keep an eye on it, but it's one of those things where it's just like, it's like a snow day for weatherman every day. You know, it's kind of what it's like. So,
but you were on that. You were also, you were covering that doctor that they found, like, the fetuses in a storage container or something, didn't they?
Yeah. Did that make news here? I didn't know how wide that went.
I felt like it made national.
I
keep an eye on stuff at home, but I feel like that made national news.
Yeah, I've actually, like, this is really grim, but I've kind of made that my welcome to Chicago. Like, it's one of those stories that have so many angles. It touches religion, it touches legal, it touches ethical, it touches, you know, every, you know, social media is all over it. So it's like I've been really covering it a lot, and it's really grim, but it's really interesting. So yeah, it's another one of those things where it's like it's a monster story, you know, anywhere, but in Cleveland it would probably be the lead for, you know, 10 days.
Sure.
In Chicago, it's just, the next day it's like, hey, we got a guy just drove through Woodfield Mall in his car. You know, it's like,
hey, we just had that.
Hey, yeah. I mean, we can't come up with an Ariel Castro every week, Chris.
There was just a car that drove into the Taco Bell on West 117.
So, there you go.
Yeah, you didn't see it?
No!
Oh, yeah.
How dare they?
Yeah.
How dare you?
They drove right into the side door there.
And, well, you know, you go down to Lido Lounge, you get bedazzled, and you don't know what's
going to. Yeah. The sun was in my eyes. I just wanted a chalupa. I didn't know what was going on. Yeah. Well, listen, I'm glad you called in, pal. Congratulations again, and best to your wife, and I'll hit you up when we're in town.
Congrats on that fetus story.
I will not be a stranger to the show. I'll be listening, and anytime you need to use an abuse, you have my number.
All right, brother.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, take care. Bye. There is Chris Tye, formerly of Channel 3 here in town. Now big reporter for WBBM Channel 2 in Chicago after, boy, he had been in Cleveland for 13, 14 years, I think. He was here for a while before I even got here.
BBM, huh?
Now he's with... Stands for the big BM, Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris Tye can only improve that station's fortunes, by the way. It's a legendary television station in Chicago with an unbelievable pedigree. It's the CBS affiliate.
That's what I was going to ask.
It's a huge, huge move for him. So,
well, so good congratulations, Chris. Very happy for you.
Yeah,
I know you're out of work for a while.
Congratulations on the fetuses.
I know you were out of work for a while. I'm glad you landed back on.
Yeah, more like taking the summer off. Yeah, I'm gonna just kind of kick it for a while and go to Italy and, you know, whatever. Hey, listen, there is that time, and it happened to me years ago in between Pittsburgh and getting a job back home in Chicago. There's that time where you're like, is this it? Like, I had my agent, like, talking to people, but you start to freak out because you're like, I don't, you know. It's a lot easier if you let go of one branch after you have another one in your hand. But if one thing ends and you don't know what the next thing is.
Well, there'll be people that were in the business that'll, you know, talk to you every once in a while, and they'll be like, is there anything available? Anything?
Oh, I see.
Like, you know, they thought they were going on to bigger and better things, or that they could do a certain thing, and now they're like trying to get their way back in.
Really?
It's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, they bit off more than they could chew?
Yeah,
or what?
They
overestimated their value.
Right.
I see.
They kind of puffed their chest up, and they're like, well, I'm worth this, and they're like, nah, you're not. And then they're like, oh,
I see. That's a tough move, though.
I'll take my old job back.
That's a tough move because it's like if you don't believe in you, nobody's going to.
Right.
It sounds trite, But like,
it's a fine line to walk, though.
It is. Yeah. And if you're somebody who doesn't necessarily, if you don't have representation, it's real hard to. Whoever you talk to, though, tell them I might be looking at a phone screener. So just, you know, just float it next time you talk to them. Right. You never know how things are going to go. This business is crazy, bro. Right. You know that.
I do know that.
One day you're up, next day you're down. Next day you're still down, but then you're up again. And then you stay up.
Right.
But boy, then you're still up.
You'd be doing that person a favor, though, because they need to go spread their wings and fly on their own.
If
they want their own show.
Yeah, of course.
Can't be a phone screener forever.
That's right. Yeah, you can't. I mean, unless you wanted to do, hey, it's the phone screener show, or it's a whole show of you screening phones.
I don't think sending them to a deadline.
I don't think it's been tried before.
Yeah.
Hey, who's this?
Well, there's no host to talk to him, so.
Hi, what's going on, everybody? Well, how are you?
Hi, what do you want to talk about?
What's your name? I'm talking.
Wait, who's the phone screener?
Hello?
What's the premise of the phone screener show?
The phone screener. Well, I mean, if we're going to do the phone screener show, then Pound Cake should be the phone screener.
Okay.
Listen, I want Pound Cake to, Mike Winfield. Just in here, very inspiring guy, right? Grind it out, be versatile, be affable, learn from whatever, your mistakes and your successes. You know, you can learn more from your failures than you can your successes.
That's right.
That's why Pound Cake's so smart.
Are you being facetious?
Look at you using the word facetious correctly.
Hey, see? Look at this. He's raised him from a mere nut. And now he's a big old palm tree.
As soon as I can learn how to run a computer, I am starting an online petition to have Alan Cox taken off the air. So help me God, I'm having him taken off the air.
The Alan Cox Show
on 100.7
WMMS.
Text me if you like, 35192. Want to watch alancoxshow.com. Whole bunch of other video pieces there for you. This week's Chrissy's Instagram hotties are there too. Use the search word bar crawl. Get the details and joining us 1 week from tonight. October the 4th will be the final Alan Cox Show bar crawl of 2019. We will go back to Lakewood. We will start at 7 o'clock, yes?
Rocktober.
I'm sorry. There'll be the first bar crawl of Rocktober. But the final bar crawl of 2019. All brought to you by Dos Equis. We'll start at Game On. All of these on Detroit Road. Yeah. Right down the strip there in Lakewood. We'll go to Game On, Kenilworth Avenue Tap House, Harry Buffalo, West End Tavern, and Around the Corner, celebrating their 45th anniversary, by the way. WMMS is only 5 years older than Around the Corner, Bill. MMS was six. In kindergarten when Around the Corner. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're six. Right. 6 years. That's
year.
Right. So that's 1 week from tonight. We'd love to have you along. Stop by any or all of those, and we'll have fun. If you listen to the show from out of state, let me know where you do that on the iHeartRadio app. Rich is a bureau chief in Kelso, Washington. We heard from Jay, who listens in Cagayan de Oro in the Philippines. That means River of Gold, Bill.
Ooh.
River of Gold is how that is translated. Next week, I'll have tickets for you if you want to see Bob Dylan at E.J. Thomas Hall in Akron. If you're a Dylan fan, he's going to be coming through. Also, Tim and Eric on the Mandatory Attendance World Tour. Have those. And then we'll start giving away like Halloween stuff, things like that, too.
Have you seen the tweet going around that says, what piece of pop culture has ruined your first name?
No.
Okay, so there's a tweet out there that says that. And so, like, what's ruined my first name? As Bill, Cosby comes to mind. just anything that, any bill you have to pay.
Oh, I see.
Billy Squire, things like that.
Yeah.
But I just saw this one where it's, he says, I'll take your first name and raise you my full name, and his name is Harry Potter.
Yeah, right.
So, like, there's people out there, Billy Squire's obscure enough that it doesn't really affect me on a daily basis. Every, month or so, someone be like, hey, Billy Squire, like, okay.
And
but, I was reading an article.
Imagine having a name like Harry Potter.
Oh, I was reading an article on all the guys named Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, yeah.
Who are online and are not Jeffrey Epstein, the dead pedophile. Mm-hmm. They're like, I'm getting hate tweets from people, which, by the way, so easy to suss out that it's not the real guy. Yeah. You know, like if you took half a second, and there are so many of them, you're going to land on the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get... Like, how do you land on the wrong...
And what do you think you're going to... Like, yeah, all, you know he's dead.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
On Twitter.
You think it's like a ghost account?
Do you think he's on Twitter with his name, though?
Right.
Living in Des Moines?
Hey, I'm Jeffrey Epstein.
That's what people wouldn't expect.
Proud owner of, what was it called? Lolita Island or whatever?
Yeah.
Lolita Express was the plane. I don't know what pop culture has ruined my name. Allen.
Mr. Allen's.
What?
That was a store around Cleveland.
Mr. Allen's?
29 or 2 for 50.
Oh, really?
You should look up on YouTube. There's probably commercials on it.
Huh.
Mr. Allen's, 29, 2 for 50.
I don't even know.
Do you remember those commercials, Poundcake?
No.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I would really have to think about that.
I think your last name has probably been more the problem than your first name.
Cox?
Yeah.
I mean, as a kindergartner, yeah, when I was a little kid, because just it's kids and dicks. But as a grown-up, what's ruined? I don't know. I mean, there's another guy named Cody Brown that he's mentioned.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Alan Cox. I mean, the famous actor Brian Cox.
Yeah.
If you watch the show Succession, amazing, amazing show. But he was General Stryker in the X-Men movies, mm-hmm. a couple of them. His son is an actor named Alan. So when I was a kid, there was this movie called Young Sherlock Holmes. And Alan Cox played Watson or something in there.
For Poundcake, you have that meme that gets shared all the time where it says, it's Cody's fault or whatever.
Yeah, everyone's doing a great job except for Cody.
For Cody.
Stupid. No, yeah.
I saw Google removed your photo on my... Somebody must have told them that,
People complain, and it works. It gets.
Why would
removed.
Anybody complain about that?
Yeah, that's funny.
People get stuff removed. Like, that's why I'm not on Notable People from Oberlin, Ohio.
No, but I mean, like, why... If I don't complain, why would someone else complain?
Because Wikipedia, anybody can run it. So, I mean, they just want to make their, I don't know, their voice heard, I guess.
Interesting.
They want to have the power to take that down, and they did. But no, my name, it just reminds me of the Sister Wives guy.
Right, that's what it was, the sister wife.
But, yeah. But his is spelled different. His is K-O-D-Y.
But it's still just out there enough to, that can be like annoying.
Because like, if I ever want to Google my name, which I never do, I'm sure that Cody Brown pops up rather than me. They're like, oh, you spelled Cody wrong. Like, no, I'm talking about Cody Poundcake Brown, not Sister Wives.
I have Google News Alerts set for my name.
Do you really?
Yeah.
And what comes up?
Nothing ever. Like every once in a while, I'll be like, I have a show here and there.
Yeah.
But those are
things that you already know are happening.
Right. But when I got arrested, I was getting them a lot.
Oh. Is that when you said it?
No, I said it years ago, just in case something's out there that's not right.
I see.
I want to know about it.
Alan!
I don't think you need me now.
Alan! 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 Ow! Alan! Alan!
That's what, the video of the squirrel, the chipmunk or something?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Alan! Alan!
Sounds
Alan!
Like Woody.
Alan!
It really does.
No, that's not Alan.
Yeah, what?
That's how Woody says hi to you. Alan!
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what pop culture thing has ruined my name for me.
Yeah, you have the Google alerts for your name, Bill, and I have them for, like, penises. So that's funny.
Yeah, Celebrity Nuts is what he gets his Google alerts for.
Especially
now, wait till you both get an alert for Celebrity Nuts and Bill Squires.
Bill's that, nuts.
Yeah, where it all comes together.
That's where. Don't cross the streams.
That'd be
weird.
Be
careful. It's like, oh, hey, it's
if one of
Bill's
our,
balls.
Like, let's say just like when Bill's like took his mugshot and it was like spread around Cleveland and it was on like the news. What if
would you like to sniff my testicles?
What if one of our nudes leaked? Would you look?
Start by just touching it.
If one of whose nudes leaked?
A nude leaked?
Would I look at a nude of Poundcake?
If it was on, if it was already like Cleveland.com posted it and
Cleveland. Why would they post a nude photo of
like
you?
If it got leaked or something like.
But they wouldn't post it.
They wouldn't post an uncensored nude.
Yeah, something would Cleveland be pixelated like, on you.
They could click on it, like click for full, you know,
if it was out there
content. You would look?
No, I would not look at a nude photo of you. I mean, Bill's nude on one of his album covers, and I mean, that's,
but it has a sensor on it.
Yeah, I understand. Alan, you've stained your own name well enough. That is absolutely true. There are probably there are other people with my name. They're like, God damn it, this douche. Now I can't go anywhere. Yeah, well, whatever. Mr. Allen's $10. People are saying a lot of people knew Mr. Allen's, but it wasn't spelled like my name.
No,
A L L E N. I assume it was a surname. Okay.
Well, there you go. Mr. Allen, 29, 2 for 50.
Yeah. I mean, Cox is not an uncommon name. So, I mean, when I was growing up, there Wally Cox was a very famous voice actor. And there was Courtney Cox and, you know, and Nikki Cox.
Nikki Cox. I love Nikki
Cox. Goldthwait for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's gorgeous.
Laverne Cox?
Yeah, Laverne Cox, too.
She's having her moment.
Yep.
That's a bad bitch.
Mm-hmm.
She's hot. Would you hit Bill?
Yeah, for the story.
Ain't nothing going to be sagging, eh?
Hey, who'd you take home? Well, I took Laverne Cox home. Yeah, it was very exciting.
And did she win an Emmy?
I don't know. I think so.
Maybe. She won an Emmy, yes. If she didn't, no.
For Orange is, yeah.
You only have sex with Emmy winners?
No, I mean, that's obviously not true. But if, you know, I'm going for the story. I want to be with someone that won an Emmy, not some runner-up loser.
But she already has a good
Nobody
story.
Remembers number two.
Yeah.
Jake Quellen. Where's Jake Quellen at? No Jake Quellen here? Yeah.
Do you mean Jacqueline?
Okay. So that's how it's gonna be. Y'all wanna play? Okay, then. I've got my eye on you, Jake Quellen. Balake. Where is Balake at? No Balake here today. Yes, sir.
My name is Blake.
Are you out of your goddamn mind?
Blake.
What? Do you want to go to war, Balake?
No.
Because we could go to war.
No.
I'm for real. I'm for real. So you better check yourself. D-Nice. Is there a D-Nice? If one of y'all says some silly ass name, this whole class is gonna feel my wrath. Now, D Nice.
Do you mean Denise?
Son of a bitch.
That is a genius sketch, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That is a fantastic sketch.
The way he plays
the
it out.
The premise of it is fantastic.
And the silence is probably the best part of them all just being so confused and not being, like, belligerent about it. They're just like, do you mean Jacqueline?
Insubordinate and churlish.
Goddamn classroom before I break my foot off in your ass. Insubordinate and churlish.
Oh, Shag Hennessy's office.
Timothy.
Present.
He's like, thank you, present Timothy. Oh, God. I know that was a popular sketch for Key and Peele, but it's just a genius piece of writing. Fantastic. Alan, my name is Gannon, so when I go into any video game store, every employee and customer that's a Zelda fan goes nuts. Yeah, if your info is relegated to, like, Nerd World, you're going to be able to still get around and not have to worry about it, you know. If the only time that you have to worry about is at Comic-Con, it's not so. I wouldn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Alan, that guy who stole a car with your name ruined your name. True?
That's true.
That's true. I had to go through a whole rigmarole a few years ago because I was in the records in Massachusetts as a car thief.
Rigmarole, are you present?
Present.
Present. Yeah. Do you see the girl who videotaped herself pulling a deer out of a fence?
Why would she videotape herself?
Well, this is what I love. This woman, I'll show it for you if you're watching at alancockshow.com. She clearly had to have seen the deer.
I saw this,
and then put her camera down to film it, and then went to go save the deer.
Of course.
And then it got itself into another fence. The deer wedged itself in between the links in a fence, or the like the wrought iron bars.
And then it went to like a divider gate, like you'd see at a concert.
Yes.
And
get stuck in there, too.
Get stuck in there, too. Yeah. So
when something like that happens...
But she's, like, set her camera up and framed it so you could see her. That was the funny part.
Yeah.
When something like that happens, do you call the police, like, and they get, like, an animal control person
I don't think deer. They're just running around.
You're just going to let it die?
Well, not die. It was stuck in a fence, and she... I'll show it to you here. Yeah. And she bends the bar, but then...
Stop! Wait! Okay.
So she gets it out pretty easily there. Now it's out. She goes and gathers her camera.
She's so satisfied.
Yeah, she stays in frame. I like that too.
Yeah.
Then she climbs over.
Mm-hmm.
Which looks dangerous, by the way.
Yeah.
You don't want to land the wrong way.
Ain't nobody help me.
Ain't nobody gonna help me.
Y'all just forgot about me.
Everybody trying to get their viral moment.
Canela, that ain't right. Bitch, you done got stuck again.
You get stuck again.
Yeah. Like, not even far away.
Nope.
I'll help you one more time, girl.
Puts the camera down so she can film it.
Then I kick me.
This one doesn't bend as easily either.
Nope.
This one's harder.
I'm surprised the other one bent. I mean, she's trying to help.
She's getting low.
Being so extra.
Get low, get low, get low.
No.
She need to get a hammer or something.
Does she get it out, by the way?
Yeah, just keep watching, keep watching.
Oh, okay.
It's not much longer. Okay. It's funny how she gets it out the second time. Because it's not... Come on, boo.
Because you don't want to get kicked.
Nope. I saw these guys pull...
She put her foot up its ass, or was she...
No, she tries to jump over. And when she jumps over, that's when it bends.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It bends enough as she puts pressure from the top, and they bow out enough.
I see. Okay. At least she's trying to help this.
No, she's doing a good thing. She just didn't want people to know she... If she wants people to know.
So
that's what scares her, and it wiggles out.
Don't be stuck again. Yeah.
There's another video out there right now of these guys pulling like a buck out of some like irrigation ditch.
Just a dollar?
Like a big, deer. Like a buck.
Oh, like a 30-point deer.
Yeah. And it's got... They're pulling it up by its antlers. I'm like, that can't be the best way to do it. But they had no other choice. That's all they could get a hold of.
Yeah.
And they pull it up and they get it out and it just runs off. But, man, that's one of those things where it's like, imagine getting pulled by your head out of a hole.
Or if you're one of those guys, you don't want to get stabbed by the antlers.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Mm. Alan, my best friend's name is David Duke. Yeah, that would suck, too.
Not a good one.
No. And there was an actor, I think, in the 70s named David Dukes, who I think used to always get mistaken for the KKK guy, too. Yeah, David Dukes is an actor. He died about 20 years ago, but he was always getting... You'd see him in interviews. He'd be like, I'm not the racist.
Mm-hmm.
There's an S on my name.
Different David Duke.
Yep.
Not that guy.
Norm in Detroit says that Mr. Allen's still exists in Detroit.
Oh, yeah?
So it's a Cleveland thing or a Cleveland and Detroit thing?
I don't know exactly. I never went. I just remember the commercials being on, and it was just Mr. Allen's, and they had all sorts of deals.
Huh.
It was clothes. It was everything.
Okay.
It's like, I don't know if it was like a secondhand store or whatever it was, but they always had, I feel like Lugs was the thing they were selling the most of.
Lugs, L-U-G-Z.
Yeah.
What were those, shoes or pants?
Yeah, shoes.
Okay. Or 800-348-1007. Send me a text if you want. 35192. The Bill Squire Friday Get Down is a few minutes away. That's how you know the weekend has officially begun, Bill.
That's right.
When we do the Friday Get Down.
You hear me speaking gibberish in a weird voice. It's weekend time.
The 1999 Detroit Mr. Allen's commercial.
Let's hear it.
Get men's Yukon, Puma, Fila.
Turn it attitude for 50.
Women's DKNY, Treetown, Apollo, Gucci.
Turn it attitude for 50.
Kids, Converse, Fila, or K-Swiss.
Turn it attitude for 50.
If you want to win, be the man, Mr. Allen.
Nobody beats Mr. Allen.
So yeah. That was how they're running here?
It kind of sounds like the Get Down.
There you go, yeah.
Turn it attitude for 50.
Wow, so they were really like trying to target the FUBU crowd.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I see. 29 or 2 for 50.
Like the Lugs and the K-Swiss and...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
All right, well, there you go. Boy, it's a good thing that Chris Tye checked in on the phone. He was... his wife finally joining him in Chicago as he's working for Channel 2 there now, the CBS affiliate. And they were getting everything squared away here, and he checked in earlier as they were on the road. It's a good thing he didn't fly. Because Hopkins is the second worst midsize airport in the United States. So hey. You're not trying hard enough, Cleveland.
What do they
Nobody
want?
Remembers number two.
What are they graded on? Because I think I saw this story. Didn't we talk? Did we talk about this a little
no,
bit?
No, customer satisfaction. Okay. It's a brand new. It's probably not the first time that it's ever been. We've talked about something like this, but they did a survey of customer satisfaction of mid-sized airports. In North America.
Okay.
The entire continent. And Cleveland Hopkins is second to last. So there you go. We lost by... We would have been dead last, but we got 1 point more than the Kahului Airport, which I assume is in Hawaii. So there you go.
I don't need...
Traveler satisfaction is not what it could be.
I don't know. I get through it just fine. I don't have any problems.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's never all that crowded.
No.
So that's easy enough. I don't mind that.
I just flew out of there last week, and it was fine. And I don't need the mall aspect that people want.
They want that.
I'll see people stand in line for, like, when they have a layover at Starbucks for...
The same coffee you'll get 30, on any other
like
street
30,
corner.
40 minutes. But it's like, just go to the little... They have the little store right there, and they have Starbucks in a glass bottle. You can just get there,
and I'm sure they have
a regular coffee. Like there's so many options.
I think they closed down half of the airport because there's not that much business there. But I'm sure for special events,
but they're doing construction too.
But I know like when the RNC comes through, like for when big events like this come through, like the All-Star Game and all that, they open that stuff up. And so I mean, you'll just get what you get. There's no point in keeping all that stuff for Clevelanders who. You know, they don't need all the rigmarole. They don't need all that.
I just need to... What I look for in an airport is outlets.
And just convenience.
I need a place to sit and a place to plug in my phone.
Charging outlet.
That's all I care about.
Yeah.
That's really all I care about.
I get severe anxiety when I get to airports. Like Jamaica, I was shaking. Erica constantly had to keep asking. She's like, are you okay?
Why?
You okay?
Wasn't she the one that is more afraid of flying?
She's afraid of flying.
Was heavily medicated when we went to Dublin.
I'm not afraid of flying. Flying is fine. I don't like the pre-flying. Like,
why?
But the whole thing just gives me anxiety. And then on top of that, I got searched on the way back. So,
Anxiety about what? Like
social anxiety. Lindsay Lohan.
Like I'm gonna miss my flight. I'm gonna get lost. Something bad is gonna happen. Like in terms of like a terrorist attack. Like my mind is all screwed up.
You're fun.
I know my plane ticket might not work, or like I have too much luggage.
Oh, I love the plane ticket that you can put on your phone. I love that.
Like there was one time I went through. I was flying back from Arizona. And I think I was in. Yeah, I was in Phoenix too. I didn't even fly out to North Carolina yet, but I went to their airport. The guy gave me a printout of my ticket, and I go up to, you know, get scanned through and everything, and they ask you for your ticket again. And he's like, where'd you get this ticket? I'm like, the guy just printed it out for me. He's like, well, this doesn't work. I'm like, what do you mean it doesn't work? He just printed it out in front of my face. He's like, well, you have to go back down there and get another one because this one doesn't work. So I had to walk back down there.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a pain in the ass, I mean, but sooner or later you get it figured out.
But
I never,
that was the first time I ever, like, flew by myself. I never.
Yeah, it's more one of those things like as you do it more often, you realize it's not as big a deal.
I don't go anywhere.
Well, maybe travel more. You got a boo now. You guys can go on little trips.
He does. I mean, we will. Probably around Christmas time, I'm thinking. As soon as we get off here, we'll probably vacation.
Earlier in the week, there was that UK travel company that like went out of business while these people were on vacation. Oh, so, really? Like, 65,000 people were stranded wherever they were because the UK's oldest travel agency went bankrupt.
That's wild.
So, like, the government had to get planes to fly people back to they were. I don't even know how that works.
Now, that's scary.
Just like, we're not, wherever you are, we're not in business anymore. That's something to freak you out.
Right.
Why wouldn't they tell you that before you, like, book with them?
I don't know. Probably you don't want those things in the wind, because I think they were, what I had read was that they were waiting for some last minute bailout that didn't come through. So they didn't want to put blood in the water before that, I guess. But the government had to, like, repurpose planes to fly people back to the UK.
But it wasn't in the wind. It was the plane. Like, they didn't have anybody to fly out. That's crazy.
There's a wild story I was reading about down in New Orleans. WWL Radio. This is a news talk radio station in New Orleans. It's like WTAM, same kind of format. And there's a guy down there named Seth Dunlop. White dude. Gay guy. I guess it doesn't matter. He's white. Matters that he's gay. The station was... dealing with some controversy down there because this guy had posted a tweet. Which of these five overreactions isn't actually an overreaction? Just a regular tweet engaging with the audience, and then a link. The station itself, their Twitter account, responded to him, and it said, "That you're a fag."
Oh, wow.
And so the station was under, like, this made all this news. And the guy goes crazy because it was coming from the radio station's account. So they launched this big, and he's like, this guy says, I'm going to go scorched earth on the radio station. He wanted he got a lawyer, lawyered up, wanted a $1.8 million. He wanted to get paid by the radio station for emotional distress or whatever. So they launched this big internal investigation. And this
Wait, I have a theory.
Yes.
He's the one that sent the tweet.
He's the one who sent the tweet. And so, and this is not iHeartMedia, but it's another, there are a couple other big radio companies. And
gays are resourceful.
One of them. So they do an internal investigation, and they find that the tweet was sent from an IP address attached to his personal cell phone. So he logged on to the station account, replied to his tweet with... homophobic slur.
Right, like I have MMS's Twitter and Instagram account, so I could do that. And be like,
you can do some damage.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I'm very responsible about that. And I also really am very careful, because sometimes I'll get on my Twitter and start tweeting when I'm like drinking or something. I'm like, got to make sure
you're not on
my Twitter.
Yes,
not on MMS.
That's right. Well, this guy, I don't know that he really... It sounded like he was a little desperate, because the station... He lawyered up, and the lawyer said, this is false, and they're trying to re-victimize him. And then they showed him the forensic evidence. They're like, we know that this came from your phone. So then the station charges him with extortion.
Yeah.
And you can get 15 years in prison for that.
Ooh.
The station had been getting letters from this guy's creditors saying that they needed to garnish his wages. So he needed money. So he posts the tweet. What an effed up story. He posts the tweet and then goes, I want $1.5 million, because the guy was in serious debt. And how do you not think they're going to figure that out?
Right, that's like...
You did it from your phone.
You did it from your phone.
You didn't go to the library, like, and go on one of their computers. Like, you know.
Or go into, like, someone else's computer that's logged on that has access to that same account and send it from there, the way I would do it.
Crazy, yeah.
I'm
so this guy,
I'm sending it from Alan's computer, not mine.
Alan, could you come see me and bring everything in your office with you? Yeah, it's pretty wild. He said that he passed a polygraph, but that's not admissible in court. So then they showed him the evidence that he had posted the tweet himself.
How do you?
They said he's got a variety of unpaid credit cards. I mean, listen, if you ask your boss for over $1 million, they are going to dig into everything. In order, you know, even if you had a legitimate claim to that, even if it was an above board discrimination lawsuit, I mean, they're going to dig into everything. So the guy had a bunch of unpaid credit cards and personal loans and all this kind of stuff. So he was trying to get money with that tweet. It's crazy.
Oh, man.
Poundcake, let that be a lesson to you.
There's no shortcuts.
There are no shortcuts.
No, I like being called a fag their old-fashioned way.
In the street.
Or on Twitter, just by other people.
By a listener. Not by a coworker.
I want them to truly mean it. That's all.
A lady in the street, but a freak in the bed is what you want.
The fact that he just said that is hilarious, because that is just like a trigger for so many people. He knew exactly how to get everybody like all wound up, and it is in Louisiana.
I bet the station immediately knew what was going on, though. I bet they're like, he probably sent that tweet.
Well, maybe. They had to, you know, because especially if
probably took them a while to prove it, but yeah.
Yeah, they had to put out their own tweet saying, this is awful and reprehensible, and we're so sorry, and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, listen, you especially if it's one of these employees who's always complaining about something.
That kind of desperation. Oh.
It's tough.
You're like, all right, I got all this debt. How am I going to get out of this? And then that's the scheme you come up with.
Ugh, gross.
It almost worked, though.
I don't think it almost worked. I think it was very far from working.
It should have asked for like a cool $75,000. They probably would have been like, okay, we'll give you maybe $35,000. And then you just go away.
Yeah, but
like,
if he
they don't want to pay any money. They're going to look into it.
Right, and also he had a ton of debt. Like, how much did it say how much debt he had?
It didn't, but they said personal loans, and he was getting, that station was getting letters. You know, payroll gets a letter from your creditor.
Right. I just got one because I'm, you know, buying a house right now, buying a condo, and there's one that's like, there's a collection out from you for $0. I'm like, then why is there a collection? there's not a collection.
It costs you guys 20 cents to mail this to me bulk.
It says, like, there's an unpaid account that has no money.
Yeah,
I don't get why you're sending this to me.
I had to go through something years ago. Some letter went to payroll. I think I was here. It was not long after I'd gotten here. And payroll or HR, somebody hits me and they go, hey, we got a letter saying that we've got a garnish or what. And it was this mistaken thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I had to go through this nonsense of like calling these people and going, that's not me. And you got a number wrong and all this crap.
Ugh. Ain't garnishing my wages.
That's right. So this station was getting letters that this guy owed people money and that, you know, you got to take this out of his paychecks. Because if they're getting those, probably not the right time to then try to extort them.
True.
Some texts about that lady freeing that deer. Alan, you were one of my neighbors when you lived in Ohio City. And we had a deer get stuck on our fence, and some neighbors called the cops, and they were able to get it free. But it was really badly injured, and so it limped in the street, and a cop shot it in the head in front of about 10 people. Could you imagine that? Jesus.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Like, it's like the scene in, what was it, Napoleon Dynamite, where he's got to put the horse down or something. And the bus pulls up, and he's just about to do it. And then, like, all the kids are on the bus, and you just hear him screaming as the gun goes off.
I'm not shooting you.
By mistake.
It's crazy. Pound cake got in the way of me trying to put that deer out of its misery.
That was a deer.
Alan, when I'm in my car on the way home from work listening to the show, I often wonder who else in their cars next to me are listening. There should be some sort of universal hand signal for I'm listening to the Alan Cox Show.
Well, it can't be okay because
that's a white power signal. Yeah, right. Now. They've ruined that.
Yeah.
It's a middle finger, I think.
I was going to say.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Pretty sure it's a middle finger. Mm.
Right. It's Romo Fijo. Romo Fijo. It's just the clapping. You just do that out of your way.
You should just do that every so often so that if you see the person next to you clapping, you go,
Romo Fijo.
Or just put your nipple up to the glass. That works,
Or too. Put your put nipple up glass. To the glass. Yeah. There you go.
What's his face? Baby Got Back guy.
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Return of the Bumpasaurus.
Put him on the glass.
Put him on the glass.
That's a great song. Didn't catch on.
No.
But it was a hit in my heart.
What's the movie where Jim Carrey puts it up on the glass in the prison?
Cable Guy.
Yeah, Cable Guy.
Oh, Billy. You need human contact.
Yeah. That's what I think of. Return of the Bumpasaurus. Who says there's no rap legacy in Seattle? That's you got right. Sir Mix-a-Lot and Macklemore.
Right.
They put rap
the best
on the
rappers ever.
Yes. They put rap on the map in
I call him Mackle-less.
Hiya.
I don't need all that. I don't need more of that.
Alan, did I miss you playing the video of the Hollywood costume designer who went on that racist rant? I didn't play that.
I was watching it in the break. It's just some lady. She's at a CVS, and I think she doesn't seem sane. Like, she has something mentally wrong with her.
You are if you're hurling expletives like that.
But the way she was saying it, it almost seemed like she had, like, Tourette's or something. Like, it didn't seem normal the way, because her whole body was, like, shaking as she was saying it. And then she was like, here's my license plate. Take a picture of it. Make sure you get that on video. Like, she's not a smart woman. I can't just take her for being a racist. She seemed like she was mentally ill.
A CVS in Eagle Rock, which is a pretty hipster area of L.A. Heather Lynn Patton. Screaming she wants to kill black people in a CVS.
That's what I'm saying. She didn't. She isn't smart. You can play the N-word?
It's bleep.
Yeah, she's on drugs or something.
They bleep the N-word, but not that.
It's TMZ. They usually bleep that stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. Well. All right. Well, anyway. Patricia Arquette said that she knows the woman, and she worked with her on the series Medium for 2 seasons.
Ooh.
And said, this is not who this woman is at all. She says she's lost her job, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Some people go, oh, I'm on some medication. I don't know. I'm not on anything. So I don't know what it makes
you do. She seems mentally ill. I think there's something wrong with her. I mean,
guess so.
But I do enjoy the fact that she is, she's overtly racist. Because that way, I mean, I know to stay away from her.
If you ever cross paths with that Hollywood designer.
I want to know who's a racist. Like, let me know. Call me the N-word to my face. So that way I know
who to get
my car.
Yeah.
You know how we can bring how we can make everybody happy from something awful like that, Bill? The Bill Squire Friday Get Down.
Oh, yeah.
Brought to you by Cleveland Whiskey. The weekend is underway. Cleveland Whiskey, Underground Rye. You want to try something new? In honor, of course, the late, great Murray Saul, Bill Squire does his Friday Get Down. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, go to it.
Oh, yeah, it is Friday. It's Friday, and I want to get down with some Cleveland whiskey. I need that Cleveland whiskey in my body, and I'm going to party with some Cleveland whiskey. Galugga, 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 give me that whiskey underground Cleveland whiskey.
Galugga, galugga, galugga. I like that a lot. Galugga, galugga.
Galugga, galugga.
Now, if that doesn't make you thirsty and horny at the exact same time, I don't know what to do for you. Cleveland Whiskey, ask for Underground Rye at your local liquor store. You can go to clevelandwhiskey.com. Man, the worst part is that people have to wait another week, Bill.
I know.
And it's going to be right before the bar crawl next Friday.
Ooh, a perfect time.
Perfect time.
Galugga, galugga, galugga.
Galugga, galugga, galugga. I got love in my tummy. Alan, I just showed my nipple to some guy in traffic and he gave me the finger. Does that mean he's listening?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Do it more.
Yep.
Is it a nice nipple?
Oh, boy. I don't know. He didn't describe the aesthetic properties of his nipple.
Send pics.
They all kind of send them to Poundcake. Yeah, Radio Cody B on Twitter.
Probably not the size
and
of
Instagram.
Wilhelmina's.
Right.
You know, the size of a small plate.
I'll deal with like a nice 50-cent piece.
Areola.
And now I must leave you as the Brady Bunch is on, and I find 4 of those children incredibly arousing. Get out of here.
Be careful of what you say. Be careful in every way. Be careful of what you do. Big Brother is watching you. Be circumspect and discreet. Stay light on your mental feet. One slip and you know you're through. Big Brother is watching you. Conform with all directives. Remember, obedience pays. Screen. Remember, it works both ways. You'll disappear in a wink unless you can double think. You'll vanish into the blue. Big Brother is watching you.